not enough now.
Grown man, cry. Don't make a grown man cry. Don't make a grown man cry.
My eyes dilate, my lips go green, my hands are greasy. She's a mean machine.
Stay tuned for Quality News Network at the time.
This is the Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill today, General John Abzaei, the top U.S. commander in the Middle East, appeared before the Senate Armed Services Committee. He raised the possibility that more U.S. troops, at least temporarily, may be needed in Iraq. Abzaei also warned against setting a timetable for withdrawing U.S. troops because he said it would hurt the commander's flexibility on the ground. The New York Times reports that some former military leaders who were against the Iraq war now say that a quick pullout of American troops from Iraq, such as within 4 to 6 months, as some Democratic leaders have advocated, will most likely accelerate the descent into civil war in Iraq rather than stop it. The U.S. military today announced the deaths of 6 more troops in Iraq, 3 soldiers and 3 Marines who were killed in combat Tuesday. At least 40 U.S. troops have been killed so far this month. Elsewhere in Iraq, at least 20 Iraqis were killed in violence today, including 2 Iraqi journalists. In Baghdad, Iraqi officials now say about 70 of the estimated 150 educators kidnapped yesterday in a brazen raid of a government education building have been released. It is unclear how many are still being held captive. The victims were reportedly taken away in about 20 pickup trucks by armed gunmen dressed in commando uniforms. On his way to Asia for an 8-day trip, President Bush met with Russian President Vladimir Putin for a quick meeting. At the airport stopover, the two leaders discussed the nuclear disputes with North Korea and Iran. A Kremlin spokesman confirmed a bilateral agreement has been reached between Washington and Moscow, and Russia will enter the World Trade Organization. That agreement will be signed at the Pacific Rim Economic Summit in Hanoi at the end of the week. In Washington, the Senate Republicans have chosen their leaders for the new term beginning in January. Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell will be the Senate Minority Leader. Mississippi Senator Trent Lott won the number 2 whip position. Convicted former lobbyist Jack Abramoff began his prison sentence today in Western Maryland. He was sentenced to a nearly 6-year term at the minimum security all-male prison for his role in a fraudulent deal involving the purchase of Florida casino ships. At Fort Campbell, Kentucky today, a U.S. soldier pleaded guilty to raping an Iraqi girl and killing her family. He will avoid the death penalty because of the plea agreement. And at Camp Pendleton today, a 20-year-old Marine accused of murdering an Iraqi man in April has publicly apologized to the man's family. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
U.S. researchers have discovered a link between gum disease and pancreatic cancer. Preliminary findings suggest that harmful bacteria associated with gum disease may contribute to the risk of developing the deadly cancer. U.S. Airways has made an $8 billion bid in cash and stock for Delta Airlines. The deal would create one of the largest air carriers serving more than 350 destinations in 5 continents. Delta has repeated it is not interested in a takeover. The former chairwoman of HP, Patricia Dunn, Dunn pleaded not guilty to four felony charges today that stemmed from the company's media spying scandal. The last of the top Enron executives to be punished for his role in one of the largest corporate scandals in U.S. history was sentenced today. The former chief accounting officer, Richard Causey, received 5.5 years in prison. Industry analysts say upscale U.S. retailers are expecting to see a strong holiday season. They cite the booming stock market as the reason why. And a retail analyst says the top three items on Christmas wish list this year are Barbie dolls, tunic tops, and digital cameras. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.75 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street today, for the second day in a row, the Dow set a new record high. The Dow was up 34 points at 12,251. The NASDAQ was up 12 and the S&P 500 up 3. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov. It's 5 minutes.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome, 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 one and all, to a Wednesday edition of Head On. And being as it is, in fact, Wednesday, well, you know what Wednesday means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Darn straight, and Katie, bar the door, because I'm caffeinated. Coming up on 7 minutes after the hour, and I'm loaded for bear. I mean, you hear this? That's my fingers on the desktop. I am ready to go. And we've got, well, okay. Agnes not feel so good. You know that. And so I'm sitting back here working, and she says, "Honey, would you like a cup of tea?" And I say, sure. You know, shame on me. Shame on me. This woman who will not rest, who is pushing her body to the point that it will eventually collapse and make her rest because she won't get any on her own hook. Would you like a... There are some pretty strong medications involved here. And so I got a big old honking cup of good old-fashioned caffeine tea. I'm just flying. And I guess it kind of counterbalances because, you know, Agnes is sort of she's just sort of cruising along at 40,000 feet. And good for her. So we will get through this Wednesday prayer meeting edition. And I've got plenty of stories of right-wing religion industry hypocrisy. Plenty of different places to go. We've got some updates from the American Family Association, who is apparently far more interested in maintaining bigotry in this nation than they are in, following the dictates of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter. But I want to start with a couple of other things that aren't religion-oriented, if you don't mind. First of all, I think we need to re-examine the United States military's drug testing policy. And we need to focus a little less on the grunts on the ground and a little bit more on the officer corps. You tell me. Headline, General Abizaid, we can stabilize Iraq. We need to be testing for LSD on this guy, okay? The commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East said Wednesday he is optimistic that we can stabilize Iraq. He also noted that the walls were breathing. General John Abizaid rejected a call from some Democrats for a phased redeployment of forces beginning in 4 to 6 months.
While sectarian violence remains high and worrisome, it's certainly not as bad as the situation appeared back in August.
Really? Dude! We lost more human beings in October, more American service personnel in October than we've lost in 2 years. We're on track to do it again in November. You, sir, need to be listening tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern when our good friend Bruce Birch convenes a very special edition of his program dealing with addiction and recovery. Sir, General Abizaid, you need to sober up. Get clean, General Abizaid. We can't stabilize Iraq. Iraq can't stabilize Iraq. Nobody, well,
if anybody's going to stabilize Iraq, it will be the Iraqis.
And, you know, rather than continuing to pursue this military strategy that is apparently based upon General Abizaid's drug-addled readings of a Ouija board, it is time to get out. Get out now. Get out yesterday. Leave! And don't forget to pee in the cup on the way out, General. Because you're high, brother. You are too high.
How are you going to stabilize it, General?
General, are you going to stabilize it with more American muscle and blood and tissue and sinew and ligaments and little bits of brain scattered all over the pavement the next time? The next time a roadside bomb goes off on one of your unarmored Humvees that your boss had sent to Iraq when it was originally meant to shuttle National Guardsmen to scenes of natural disasters, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, and the like. General Abizaid, we need a sober guy in charge. Step down. You got a nice retirement coming. You know, another, we need Iraqi, not U.S. troops. Oh, you mean like the ones that stormed in from the Interior Ministry and offed a bunch of people yesterday, General? General, dude. Keyed spills. Skill peeds. Speed kills. Get off the pipe. This is just pathetic. We can stabilize Iraq. Now, it is possible that an entirely Arabic-speaking multinational force, say Jordanians, Egyptians, who else we got? Qataris, Kuwaitis, Saudis. If you could pull them back a little bit from their religious insanity, it's possible they might be able to stabilize Iraq. Because, among other things, they speak the language. And, you know, there'd be a lot less likelihood of, you know, I mean, with our soldiers, you know, they walk by and there's a couple of guys muttering on the side. Yeah, they're going to get blown up in 5 minutes. But, you know, we don't know Arabic, so we don't hear that. It doesn't work so well. You get the idea. So we got that going for us. Generals on drugs. What is it with the, I mean, is it LSD? Is it ecstasy? Yeah, ecstasy sort of brings on a sense of profound euphoria where you can do monumental, miraculous things. Maybe it's, yeah. Is it X? Did the general go to his congressional hearing after coming back from a rave? There's something wrong with that. No one who says we can stabilize Iraq is sober. They are drunk on something. Power? Booze? Acid? Coke? Crack? Meth? I'm pretty sure he's not a pot smoker. Because even a pot smoker wouldn't look at Iraq and say, we can fix that.
No.
Dude. We got that. We got Dear Leader on his way to Vietnam, stopping off for a lunch meeting at the Moscow airport with Pooty Poot today. I want to see the video of George landing in Hanoi. I want to see that. Do we get to call him Hanoi George after he's been there, do we? Is he going to get off the plane and,
Lafayette, I am here. 40 years too late, but I'm here. Sign me up. Oh, wait, the war's over? It's all safe now? Well, good for me. Stuck in my thumb and pulled out a plum, and what a good boy am I.
We got that. And, you know, I haven't heard it, and I doubt if any one of us will hear it. I'm sure it will not be reported on right-wing babble media. But I would sincerely like to know how they will be covering these guilty pleas that are coming out of, what, Fort Campbell, Kentucky? A young man pleaded guilty today to kidnapping and raping and murdering a young Iraqi woman. He, by virtue of his plea, is evading the death penalty. I don't believe in the death penalty in the first place. Unless we developed it in such a way that it would be applied equally across social and economic barriers in this nation. But generally, no, I don't believe in committing murder in the name of the state. That's why I don't believe in the Iraq War. Because every killing in Iraq is a murder. The intentional, premeditated taking of a human life. So we can talk about that if you want to. And it won't be easy, but we can also, because someone should talk about her, we can talk about Jean Linda Michael, Iraq veteran, Navy medic, mother of three. Linda Michael's kids are 11 years old, 5 years old, and 4 years old. She has a husband. She was so glad last month when she came back home to Clifton Park in upstate New York. She had a few weeks to go, then she was going to be discharged from the Navy after finishing 5 long years of duty as a Navy medic. The story is reported in the Albany Times-Union from a couple of days ago by Kate Gurnett. You will not find Linda Michael's name on the list of the Iraqi dead. But she is a casualty of the war just the same. You see, she was very glad to get home to Clifton Park, New York, to her three kids, 11 years old, 5 years old, 4 years old, to her loving husband. But two weeks after she got home, she blew her brains out. France Michael, who is her husband, said she'd come through a lot and she'd always risen to the challenges. He's also an Iraq veteran, by the way. He wants to know why the Navy didn't try to help her. Well, maybe the Navy didn't try to help her because we spend all of our money in the military on things that go bang, and not the people who do the banging or see what the banging does. The author of the story, Kate Gurnett. She said, like thousands of others returning from Iraq, her mental state was fractured and it went untreated. Within 2 weeks, Linda Michael would become a private casualty of war. Re-entry into the world of peace can be harder than deployment, experts say. Picking up where you left off doesn't just happen. women experience stronger forms of post-traumatic stress disorder and have higher PTSD rates, experts say. By way of response, the Veterans Affairs Department launched a $6 million study of female veterans. Well, we're having a study while Linda Michaels blowing her brains out. We don't need a study. We need counselors. We need psychologists. We need psychiatrists. We need support groups that don't exist. We need a military that doesn't try to pre-certify every bad thing that ever happened to a recruit so that they can weasel out of a PTSD claim when someone comes home having watched, you know, seen, oh, I don't know, little babies with their skulls bashed in. That is a direct and proximate result of American military action. You know, anybody with a moral, anybody with a moral sense, anybody with a moral center, anybody with a conscience, that's going to bother. Especially if you've got an 11-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 4-year-old back home in Clifton Park, New York. Because you look at the little Muslim baby on the ground with its skull bashed in, and you go, wow, that could be my kid. And you come home and you look at your little 11-year-old, your 5-year-old, your 4-year-old, and the face of the little Muslim baby with the skull bashed in keeps transposing itself over the face of your child, and the next thing you know, you're eating the muzzle of a gun. Am I being callous about this? I hope you don't think so. Reality spoken here. Three veterans in New York's Adirondack region this past August committed suicide within 3 weeks. That comes from Helena Davis, Deputy Director of the Mental Health Association of New York. But they won't be listed on the paperwork that George Bush has run across his desk every day but never bothers to read. What did he say? They knew that they were accepting a risk when they signed up for the United States, when they volunteered their services for the United States military. Just as he evaded the risk when he said, Daddy, get me out. I don't want to go to Vietnam. Can you get me into the Air National Guard with them Dallas Cowboys players? I promise I'll go, Daddy. I promise. I really will. I won't lay out of it like I did all my college classes. You get me out, Daddy. But of course, he didn't go. He didn't show. And you gotta wonder what Vietnam veterans will think to watch him step off of that airplane. What kind of media coverage will we have? Will we have much coverage of George Bush in Hanoi? You know, if you're a coward who avoided Vietnam by hook or by crook, whether you were like Dick Cheney and had other priorities, or whether you were like Flesh Flimball and had a pimple on your butt, or whether your daddy got you into the Texas Air National Guard and you didn't even bother to show. You really, you know, if you're the president and one of those things applies to you and they invite you to the Asian Pacific Summit, send your Secretary of State. Don't dishonor 55,000 names on a black granite wall on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Don't do that. For once in your miserable life, honor the fallen. Don't go to Vietnam. Oh, but it would have been a social slight. You know, it doesn't matter. Sometimes you've got to pay more attention to the American people than you do the rest of the world. Don't go. George, get the flu or something. You can still turn around. Don't go to Vietnam. Do not dishonor those who fell in the mud and in the swamps. Don't go, George. Come back home, George. Do something about General Abizade, who's so whacked out of his mind he thinks we can stabilize Iraq. Because you understand what that little phrase means, don't you? We can stabilize Iraq. You understand what that means. I know you do. I do. We do. It's those innocuous little phrases like, now we can stabilize Iraq. Jeez. Gee, Beav, let's stabilize Iraq. That means John Abizade wants to send a whole bunch more Americans into the hopper of the meat grinder. You know that's what it means. You know that General John Abizade wants to thinks that it won't do. It's no big deal if a few more Linda Michaels come home and blow their brains out. It's no big deal if a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, and an 11-year-old, and a widower father face the rest of their lives without the woman who meant most to them in the world. Because we've got to stabilize Iraq. We've got to find some benchmarks. We're not staying the course. We're looking for benchmarks. The benchmarks is stabilization. Because if we don't stabilize, if we have a phased with, if we pull out, if we couldn't run, if we don't, whatever it is that we're not doing, if we don't do it, it'll degenerate into civil war. It is a civil war. No, there aren't any boys in Butternut, and there isn't any Grand Army of the Republic, and there's nobody with cool-looking facial hair and sepia-tinted photographs and drums. And they're not lined up on a hillside a little way out of Washington, D.C. And there's no drum and bugle corps, and there's no fifes. And there's no general named Old Blue Light sucking on a lemon. But it is still a civil war. It is an internal war. It is the worst kind of war. It's a senseless war. It's a war we started. It is, however, not a war that we can end. I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care what well-paid politicians say. I don't care what generals who are more concerned about their damned pensions than they are about the men and women who serve under them. I don't care what they say. Every minute we remain in Iraq is another minute that we do not fix what is broken here at home. Every minute we remain in Iraq is another minute that the Iraqis will not have peace. Because, you see, and I don't understand the psychology behind it. I really don't. I don't understand how you can get to be in that kind of a position and be so divorced from reality that you can't look up and realize that we are the problem. The generals are the problems. I've got a sneaking suspicion that General John Abizade has probably not had much body armor on, and he hasn't been out in the dusty, dirty, blood-soaked streets of Baghdad very often. Maybe he needs to lead a patrol. Hump out with a patrol there, General. Come back and tell me you can stabilize Iraq. Hump out with a patrol, General, and see the furtive glances of men remembering women blown to bits and little girls raped. See the hatred, the smoky hatred that hides in their veiled eyes. And come back and tell us, General, that we can stabilize Iraq. No one in their right mind thinks that the United States can stabilize Iraq. How about you? Do you think we can stabilize Iraq? Am I being overly cruel? Am I being overly cynical? Am I just too damn dumb to not get it? Am I just so far from reality that I don't understand that those men are just a hell of a lot smarter than I am, and they've got a plan? They're just not telling, because we don't always need to know that kind of thing. Is that it? Are we just not as smart as our betters? Are we not as smart as those vaunted West Point grads? Or maybe, are we smarter? Do we see the obvious where they see career advancement opportunities? My God, what kind of a world would you be living in if you had to count on your career advancing over the bodies and bones and blood of the dead? There's not enough medicine in the world would calm me down if I had to count on that. You're welcome to chime in, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email comes into Bob at headonradio.com. Join in. We'll be back.
Dear God, hope you got the letter, and I pray you can make it better down here. I don't mean a big reduction in the price of beer, but all the people that you made in your image, see them starving on their feet, because they don't get enough to eat from.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water, use it wisely.
Do not give me that music and caffeine at the same time. Spontaneous combustion could take place. Arr. Oh, 26 minutes before the hour, and we go straight to the phones. Dave is calling from Northern California. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you for having me, Bob. I think that you're not being at all careless or cruel I think you are speaking very directly and plainly to a reality that you see as very ugly, very horrific, dangerous, harmful, destructive, and willfully so. And I certainly share it all, what you're saying. You know, and I think that the people that are coming home from a bad, bad war, that they had to maybe be over there 2, 3, 4 times and ready to kill themselves, they're only a part of that picture. You know, there's more and more now people that are looking to their children, finding them hungry and wanting to be dead because they don't think they're going to be able to meet their needs, because that's this economy. Everything that is of value is supposed to be in the pockets of this Carlisle cartel at the very top.
And the Bechtel Group and Halliburton and Kellogg Burn and Loot, and, you know, the list goes on and on.
Right.
CACI, Blackwater, oh, Lord.
General Electric. There's a whole group there, but, you know, they're a tiny, tiny fraction that wants everything for themselves.
Well, I don't, you know, I never want to be taken as unsympathetic to the people who are actually fighting this war, because we are asking otherwise decent people to do indecent things. And, you know, I don't know, you know, I would, if offered the opportunity to sit down to dinner with General Abizade, I can say with all honesty, I would not break bread with a man like that. Anybody who thinks that a few more men or a few more bodies or a few more funerals or a few more bombs or a few more bullets or a few more guns is somehow going to bring stability to something that we destabilized in the first place, does not deserve the good repute of civilized society.
I'm wondering, it must be that these general grade and field grade officers can put together the picture that I think most of us here are able to, that this administration is so into profits, and that's what this war is all about, that the Treasury of the United States is now in the pockets of this small group. Plus, they've borrowed how many trillions now to it?
Oh, yeah, they've hung bad paper all over China. There's no getting around that, Dave. And, the other thing is that, you know, John Abizade didn't get to be where he is in command of Iraq by virtue of his brilliant generalship. You know, it's not like he's sitting around writing texts I watched over Veterans Day weekend. I watched Patton, and there's that wonderful scene where Patton screams at the not present Rommel, but he screams, you know, "Rommel, you magnificent bastard! I read your book." You know, the General John Abizade is not that guy. General John Abizade is a bootlick. He's a lickspittle. The only reason he got the job in Iraq, Dave, is because he agrees with the policy of killing Iraq. I mean, that's that, and because he was willing to go along with what the president wanted. The other people who didn't got passed over, or, you know, Richard Myers got shuffled off. You know, you stay in there long enough to lock down that good pension and you move on, and then you write a memoir or whatever. And I've lost all respect for the highest levels of our military leadership. I have tremendous respect for some of the junior officers. I have tremendous respect for the enlisted people who just go, and, you know, the ones who are like the people described in the soldiers described in the Charge of the Light Brigade. You know, ours is not to question why, ours is but to do and die. Those people I respect. But no, these well-dressed bootlicks, I got nothing for.
I have to wonder how many of them come to the awareness that there is nothing noble about our involvement there. And then what do? Do they continue going out with their machine guns and flamethrowers, or do they say, "I will not be a part of this"?
Well, we haven't seen, all what we've seen so far is we saw what happened to, what was it, General Shalakesh, was it Shalakesh? No. The general who before the war said, "Look, Rummy, George, it's going to take you 500,000 men to get this job done if you even want to think about doing it right."
Shinseki,
exactly. And they said, well, congratulations, you're fired.
Right. Because it is not their purpose there to do anything to benefit the people of Iraq. It is there to exploit whatever wealth is there to be exploited. And the problems that exist in Iraq exist largely where our military is. It's a pretty large country, and we're only in small parts of it. And where we are not, there is not the problem. So.
Or where the British are not. I mean, Basra is, you know, Basra is blowing up. But you're right, Dave. Everywhere we are, it's blowing all to hell.
So getting out of there as soon as possible strikes me as the smart, logical move. I hear from even the most respected of Democrats that we're going to have to tell the Iraqis they will have to take over and provide for their own security, like implying that that's what we're doing, and it isn't. We're holding down the oil fields. We're holding down the pump sites. We're holding down the pipes.
Right. And, you know, I really think there's benefit to having a multinational force that actually speaks Arabic.
That might be
It's going to be a lot harder to run the insurgency against a stabilizing force that speaks the language. In Vietnam, there was no problem in running an insurgency against an army that didn't speak Vietnamese.
Right.
You know, in the Second World War, at least on the European front, we had at least a running chance because there were a lot of German Americans who still had German speakers who wound up in the American military. And it's a lot. And even if you don't speak the language, it's a lot easier to get your mind around German than it is to get your mind around a completely different language set, like a Semitic language, like either Hebrew or Arabic.
I agree. I do agree. And before I get off, there's one subject I don't ever want to miss a chance now to speak out on, and it is that we have these goons in power. Because of every election fraud, they cheat. Every electronic machine is probably their main way of doing it. I believe they did it again in big time last week, but they miscalculated. And so now probably they managed to take 50, maybe more seats, but they still lost their power, their control. And I'm saying that wherever we get a chance, we got to put it to every member of Congress that's willing to listen. We need to have those machines no more. I didn't mean to change the subject.
No. That's okay. It's well said, and it's understandable. I hope that's one thing that it's not real complicated. We wrote the Help America Vote Act. We can certainly write the Really Help America Vote Act or the Help America Really Vote Act.
Well, Senator Congressman Rush Holt, who is a PhD computer engineer, had drafted a bill that would have made it where the machines would have to leave a verifiable record. And, of course, the GOP leadership blocked that at all costs. And now that they no longer are in a position to do that, that bill will come up for a vote. And I understand it's got more co-authors on it than any bill of modern times.
Well, I hope it can get legs and get traction, and I hope somewhere in the middle of it is the simplicity of a paper ballot and a public service system.
No way should electronic, privately owned, corporate controlled machinery be in between us and our vote. That should not be happening.
No, it shouldn't be. Not at all.
Even if they do produce some kind of verifiable paper record, I do think they'll still find ways to cheat.
Well, as long as the machines are involved, it's cheatable.
Right.
I'm going to be hardcore about this. I want paper ballots and pencils or crayons. You don't even, you know, you can write the name and put a picture of the candidate next to it for all I care. I want to mark a paper ballot, and I do not want a machine to count it.
Right. Right. You could chisel it in stone.
The ancient Greeks, the word ostracize comes from the ancient Greek word for the little chunk of pottery that people would vote on. They voted on little pieces of broken pottery, little pottery shards, and it was called an ostracon. And they would have an election every so often, and they'd decide who they wanted to throw out of the Athenian democracy to ostracize.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so to them, you know, no, not paper ballots, pottery ballots. But it's the same thing. You write the name, you put it in the pot, and you count what's in the pot.
Well, Bob, I very, very much value your thoughts and your network and what you're trying to do to help wise up people, and it's happening. I think a lot more are becoming aware of what we're up against. And it is dreadful. This is the most psychopathic, destructive group of criminals to ever steal the government from a country.
We can stop them if we are determined to do so. Dave, thank you so much, and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you for being there, bro.
My pleasure. And let's see, Susan calling from Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
I go to all the trouble to make sure you get decaf and you drink caffeinated tea.
Stupid me should not have let my lovely wife bring me a cup of tea. I don't know why she's running around making tea, okay? But it's an ugly habit. You know, dear, would you like a cup of tea? Sure. Because she'd brought me a cup of decaf Earl Grey earlier, and before that, a cup of the orchard peach ginger. And so I'm thinking, you know, it's just automatic.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm flying.
Got a couple of goodies for you.
First of all,
Bush is going to come capering down those plane steps like a mad dwarf. He doesn't give a rip about the soldiers who name her on that wall. He never did. He never will. He
True.
Doesn't care about any soldier.
But what about his advisors?
They don't care either.
They think they took care of that when they slit Dan Rather's throat.
You bet you're a bit big. Now, and it really ticks me off because some of my classmates are on that wall.
Yes.
And
there are a lot of people listening to this program who have classmates, friends, yeah. relatives on
and
that wall.
Watch that whole war on television, which is why you don't see it on television anymore.
Mm-hmm.
As far as voting machines, I would suggest everybody go to the U.S. Senate website and look up Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon. He has a thing up there where he's talking about pushing for national vote by mail and how it can be done. Vote by mail is done with paper ballots.
And they're not counted by machine? Are you certain of that, Susan?
Well, that can be worked out. In Oregon, they're scanned by machines, but the machines are never networked, and so they're a little harder to jigger. But by the same token, you can also rig it to have a deal where, okay, big job opportunity for the unemployed, temporary job.
Sure. Deputy county clerk for election. Yeah, sure.
Count votes for 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, deputy ballot clerk.
Yeah, doesn't matter. As long as you know, that can be worked out. But go to that website, check it out. And I got an email that I don't know why. Actually, I want to throw something. I got one of those, I'm on several mailing lists, and I got one of those, you know, for our military chain letter things.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people on this list replied, and I'm going to, it's only a few sentences, and I'm going to read it to you, part of it to you.
Okay.
And she says, she is apparently now a military wife, and she's talking about her husband. She says, of course he's irritated about the whole Democrat thing and the promise of bringing men home, mainly because he wants the job done. Very patriotic, very in support of the good we're doing there now. So, and right about then is when I went ballistic.
Oh, yeah.
How do you handle people like that?
Oh, I know. Some of these people you have to either ignore or confront directly, and it all depends on your mood that day.
I know for a fact that, you know, this woman's husband has never been to Iraq.
Oh, no.
I cut him slack if he'd ever been over there. But he's never been there.
No, and has no intention of going. Don't worry.
Oh, well, apparently he's probably going to end up being shipped there. But, in which case, he'll probably change his tune real fast. But I just, that's, I think, part of the thing that really, really aggravates the PTSD is You get these people coming in, they're super patriot, da-da-da-da-da. And they have this over-glamorized view of the U.S. military, and then they see, well, among other things, dead babies, women raped and murdered, so on and so forth, children and women and old men with their faces burned off.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, the brain just goes into verbal.
Yeah. No, there's plenty of stories out there. There's plenty of documented evidence of people who have come back from Iraq and just come a little bit unstuck when they see, you know, cab drivers of Middle Eastern extraction.
Yeah, they just literally can't handle it. And I think for the super patriots, you know, for the super red wingers, I think for them it's even worse because the dislocation is even worse. For the people who had some idea, you know, who were expecting another Vietnam, you know, who went in knowing, oh, this is going to be really, really, really bad. It, you know, they may end up with PTSD, but it's not going to be this horrendous, horrendous, huge amount of it. I think it's a matter of degree. And I think the right wingers are going to really get hit with.
Well,
provided they're not completely soulless.
Well, but see, that's what you run up against, Susan.
Yeah, there is that too.
You know, I think back, and it's part of that whole. And one of our listeners with a psychology background can certainly chime in on this. But there's this whole thing that you tend to ascribe to others the faults that you despise most in yourself. And I think back to Newt Gingrich.
Oh, yeah.
When he was writing his screeds on his key words to use in talking about Democrats, and one of the words he wanted them to use was godless and traitor. And frankly, I think those are all traits that show up far more profoundly inside the Republican Party.
Yeah.
You cannot claim you love this country if you are willing to blithely sacrifice American fighting men and women for utterly, absolutely, unquestionably nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, we have got to have what did Dear Leader call it after the 2004 election? We've got to have an accountability moment. We had an accountability moment.
Oh, I'd like to hand him an accountability moment.
But we need that accountability moment, and we've got to, you know, somebody has got to stand up and look at the families who have lost people in Iraq and say, we are sorry.
Yeah.
George Bush got your loved one killed for nothing.
Yeah. And more than anything, what, you know, I've heard people talking about, you know, wanting Bush and his cronies in Leavenworth, you know, so on and so forth. No, I don't want them there. Because the very first Republican president to come in will promptly pardon them. No, I want them in The Hague being tried as war criminals.
Well, you know, I doubt if anything will come of it, but it's certainly an inspiring beginning to know what the German legal system is doing now.
Oh, yeah. It tickles me to death.
You know, it's nice that, you know, apparently, and I don't read German, so I can't claim to have translated it or read it, but the law of the German state says that Germany has the legal standing to charge and prosecute war crimes by anyone, anywhere in the world.
And it was set up that way after Nuremberg.
Right. Because we defined war crimes for the world, and by we I don't mean the world. I mean we, the United States. I mean, you know, people like Thomas J. Jackson, or not Thomas Jackson.
Basically, to set up that law.
Or Robert Jackson. I'm sorry. Yeah, we set the law up, and we approved of it when the German provisional government set it up. So, you know, apparently we're going to get to the point where Rummy, at least, can't leave the territorial confines of the United States for fear of the German security service picking his rotten hide up and taking him over and trying him for war crimes.
Oh, I sincerely hope that somebody in Germany holds an Eichmann on him.
Well, I wouldn't have any problem with that whatsoever.
But anyway, I'm going to, it's getting towards the top of the hour.
Clock watcher.
You go. I'm another clock watcher.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Susan.
You have a good evening, and try and stay off the ceiling.
Well, you know, I should be wound down by the time Bruce cranks up. I'm looking forward to his show tonight.
So am I.
The conversation about addiction and recovery, I think. Because even outside the addictions that we tend to talk about on a day-to-day basis, whether it's cocaine or heroin or alcohol, the biggies, we've got an addiction problem in these United States that transcends those chemicals.
Food.
We've got an addiction problem with our self-image.
Yeah.
You know, I've gotten to the point where I become physically disturbed when I hear some thoughtless buffoon refer to this as the greatest nation on the face of the planet.
No, we're not.
You know, I want us to be. We've got a chance to be. But we're certainly not even interested in being that right now. We have an addiction problem that says that as long as we call ourselves that and you know, that we can just tinkerbell our way into feeling like we are.
Yeah. And I also called up Harry Reid's office and asked him if he'd lost his mind. And then I proceeded to ask him if he had, if he wanted more cocaine running into this country. Hadn't he had enough? Because with Gates, he wants Gates confirmed.
Oh, Lord, I know. You know, I mean, do you realize what Bob Gates' last job was, Susan?
Texas A&M.
Custodian of the secret presidential papers of George H.W. Bush.
Oh, good God.
You remember the ones that George W. Bush signed the executive order saying, no, you can't see them.
Yeah.
Right after he went into office, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for the love of God, this guy's going to be Secretary of Defense. He was president of Texas A&M. They could barely beat the Baptists of Baylor. How are they going to beat the Baptists of Baghdad?
Yeah, and on top of that, Iran-Contra, I mean, geez.
Yeah, or blew it on the Soviet Union. I'm for God's sake, somebody, we got to have that accountability moment. Somebody's got to explain to George Bush that he can't keep appointing screw-ups.
And we need to, somebody needs to talk to Harry Reid and inform him we can't be saying, we need to confirm this dude. No.
He's another conciliary from the Bush family.
Yeah, exactly.
How about Eric Shinseki for Secretary of Defense?
Oh, I can get with that. I can get with that.
John Shalakashvili.
Yeah.
Hell, Stormin' Norman Schwarzkopf, for God's sakes.
Hey, and he's even a Republican.
Right.
I would go for Norman.
Colin Powell, even. You know, even though Colin has no credibility now that, you know, he sacrificed it on the altar of Bush.
I wouldn't go for Powell. He sold out.
But, you know, not another old CIA goon from Daddy's administration.
Exactly. But Stormin' Norman, hey, I'd like Stormin' Norman.
You know, he seemed like he had a little bit of that.
He reminded me of Patton.
Well, yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that he would necessarily be any good, but not Robert Gates.
No, not another spook. Anyway, I'm going
to
get...
All right. All right, we'll talk to you later, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Okay, we are up against the top of the hour. That is a verifiable fact. We'll go into some of the religion news maybe in the next hour. But, Lord God, I read that story about Linda Michael. And, you know, she's not going to show up on the Defense Department's list of Iraq casualties. And if she's not there, how many others are too? An accountability moment. Can we have one? Can we have a national intervention on ourselves? Do we have the stomach for it? If you want to get involved with the prayer meeting night programming, jump right in, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. We'll be back after the news.
This is the Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill today, top U.S. Commander General John Avezade told the Armed Services Committee of the Senate it was a mistake to set a timetable for withdrawal of troops from Iraq. He said it would hurt the commander's flexibility on the ground. The New York Times reports some former military leaders who are against the war say a quick pullout of American troops from Iraq will most likely accelerate civil war in Iraq rather than stop it. In Baghdad, Iraqi officials say about 70 of the estimated 150 educators kidnapped yesterday in a brazen raid of a government education building have been released. It's unclear how many are still being held. The victims were abducted by armed gunmen dressed in uniforms. Also in Iraq, the U.S. military announced the deaths of six more troops, three soldiers and three Marines, killed in combat yesterday. And that raises the American death toll in the Iraq War to at least 2,858. 40 of them have been killed so far this month. Elsewhere in Iraq, at least 20 Iraqi civilians were killed in violence today, including two Iraqi journalists. 47 others were injured. In Washington, a GAO report today says $76 million the U.S. gave to promote democracy in Cuba has been spent on items such as cashmere sweaters, computer games, and luxury foods. The report released today says the money was paid to Cuban dissidents, academics, and independent journalists. A Kremlin spokesman confirmed a bilateral agreement has been reached between Washington and Moscow. Russia will enter the World Trade Organization. The agreement will be signed at the end of the week at the Pacific Rim Economic Summit in Hanoi. In Maryland, convicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff began his six-year sentence at a minimum security prison. He was convicted in a fraudulent deal involving the purchase of Florida casino ships. In Japan, a powerful undersea earthquake struck last night off the country's northern coast. The 8.1 trembler prompted tsunami warnings, later canceled, for Japan, Russia, and Alaska. In the American South, powerful thunderstorms hit today, killing one man in Louisiana and injuring eight people in Mississippi. The storms brought heavy rain and tornadoes to the area earlier this morning. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discovered that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
Researchers at the University of Utah say the venom from a cone snail found in coastal waters may be useful in treating some human pain. The findings are published in a current journal from the National Academy of Sciences. U.S. researchers have discovered a link between gum disease and pancreatic cancer. Preliminary findings suggest harmful bacteria associated with gum disease may contribute to the risk of developing the deadly cancer. U.S. Airways has made an $8 billion bid in cash and stock for Delta Airlines. Delta, under bankruptcy protection, says it is not interested in a takeover. The deal would create one of the largest air carriers serving more than 350 destinations on five continents. The federal agency insuring private pension plans for millions of Americans reported an $18 billion deficit this year. However, that is a stabilization, reportedly a major improvement from last year. A retail analyst says the top three items on Christmas wish list this year are Barbie dolls, tunic tops, and digital cameras. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.76 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 34 points at 12,251. The Nasdaq up 12 at 2442. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund. It's
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
God knows where it went, but we're already into the second hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is our Wednesday evening prayer meeting edition, evening here on the East Coast, at least. And you are welcome to join in, come in and take communion here at Brother Bob's Cathedral of Common Sense. I am the darned high rector of the cathedral. Whatever. I don't know what a rector does. I'm a Southern Baptist. We don't have rectors. Although apparently we have something, at least alliteratively similar, if you follow the Ted Haggard story. Coming up on 6 minutes after the hour, and a quick reminder, or just a let you know kind of thing, if you're into it, if you're interested. I got a note from our listener, BQ Massey. Apparently tonight there will be conference calls at wakeupwalmart.com, and you can sign up and have a listen. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, John Edwards will be on the call, and you might find it edifying. You know, maybe while you're listening to Bruce Birch, you can check out the phone call. WakeUpWalmart.com is the host. There's one starting now. Don't leave. There's one starting now at that's featuring Barack Obama as well, John Edwards, at I believe 10 p.m. Check out WakeUpWalmart.com if you want to find out more. Angelica is calling from Germany.
Bob, you got me out of my workplace here because I have to set something straight about this law.
Okay.
It's not a law that derived from Nuremberg. It's a new law that was put on the books in 2002.
Oh, really? It's new?
Yes. Uh-huh. Because I guess there are just too many rogue dictators in this world that nobody is willing to pursue, so we opened our courts for this and are willing to pursue them. What's hinging on this this Rumsfeld thing is as long as the U.S. are showing attempt or honest attempt to prosecute him, or you know that they're investigating properly and not mock, or you know, and if they are really going to pursue it, then our court has no reason to take the case, and they won't.
Well, there is a comment already from a guy named Brian Whitman, Angelica.
Uh-huh.
He's a spokesman for the Pentagon. He said the suit is frivolous. He said Abu Ghraib is something that the U.S. government has investigated very thoroughly. The appropriate individuals have been held accountable.
Okay, and if they can prove that the U.S. Is just making a mock attempt and not a serious attempt to pursue this, then the courts will take it, but not otherwise. Because we can't just, you know, take all the cases from all the world, you know, when they have their own courts basically in place.
Oh, I understand that. I do understand that. I hope that this 220-page lawsuit will be paid close attention to, however, because this is
300 actually.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. You're probably closer to it. the allegations in these suit papers are based upon the sworn testimony of people who were tortured.
Right, and isn't also a Kapinski suing also?
I believe she is involved in. She says she'll testify against her superiors, among other, if called upon to do so.
Okay, I mean, you know, I'm sitting here, of course. I'll be meeting this guy at the airport, and I'll pick him up, no problem. You know, take him wherever he needs to go. So I'll be just, I'll be the first one to gawk, you know, and watch him be delivered. But, you know, this is a long, long way off, so maybe we just can't be too, optimistic about it just yet.
No, I'm not, but I want there to at least be a legitimate, state-sponsored inquiry into what was done. Because
yeah,
the United States, we've already proven, Angelica, that we are not serious about investigating it.
Well, if that's the case, then if it's really proven, because that was denied already in 2005, Rumney was already supposed to go before court, and that didn't happen for that reason.
Right.
No. And if they can now prove, you know, whoever is are the plaintiffs, that they don't have a chance for having this this court lawsuit heard properly in the United States, then yes, they will have a chance.
Well, see, the United States has already determined. I mean, this is FBI work. As far back as 2005, the one individual who was tortured, a man named Al-Qahtani, the FBI verified that he was forced to wear a bra, dance with another man, stand naked in front of women, and behave like a dog.
Yeah, now, and a few other things.
Yeah, but having proven all of that, the Pentagon reached a determination that, quote, no torture occurred.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's a whitewash job.
Yes.
The only people who have been sent to prison are people like Lindy England and Charles Grainer.
Yeah.
And frankly, they really were just following orders. I'm not excusing their behavior. I find it reprehensible. But they didn't dream this junk up by themselves.
No.
It came down, it rolled from the top down. And we get an idea of that today, Angelica, by virtue of what the CIA is saying. The CIA has finally confirmed that it has memoranda signed by George W. Bush authorizing their torture techniques and authorizing their secret prisons.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They refused to disclose the document. This is part of an American Civil Liberties lawsuit. They refused to disclose the document, but they the CIA lawyer has confirmed there are two memos from President Bush and the Justice Department, but they say that they're so sensitive that no portion can be released to the public.
Oh, I see. Yeah, of course, sensitive, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they govern the aggressive, what is being called by the Washington Post, the aggressive interrogation and detention policies for terrorism suspects.
Well, then that should be part of the proof, then, because those are obviously torture techniques. So,
yeah, they are
by other country standards.
And the way I would judge it, and I'm sure that there's some weasel room on it where some highfalutin, well-paid judge would say, well, no, that's wrong. The way you judge it is to say, if we caught another country doing this to people, would we call it torture then?
Mm-hmm.
If we caught, say, the mainland Chinese doing this to the Taiwanese, would we think it was torture?
Well, it's a whole different subject, isn't
it? Yeah, of course, but of course we would. If we caught... I don't know. If we found out Osama bin Laden had done this to an American soldier, would we call it torture?
Yeah.
Of course we would.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that Americans do it does not relieve it from the common sense definition of what torture is.
No. Well, then, you know, things are looking up then. If that's what you're saying, that this kind of proof then is, because this is actually the highest court in Karlsruhe where this is being taken, you know. So,
Well, I sincerely hope that it is taken up. Of course, you know, we'll scream that no one can hold the United States to account. Because, of course, we won't sign off on treaties of international law for the prosecution of war crimes.
Well, and see, and this is why this law was basically put on the books. And I'm proud of that, of my country, for doing that, because it gives a venue for people who don't otherwise have one to seek justice.
Exactly. And I'm proud of it as well. I hope it is I hope it's given a good workout.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see laws like this used so that things like what we are doing in Iraq will cease. The threat of prosecution should be a deterrent to the commission of war crimes, and Iraq is nothing but one big war crime.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, this story coming out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky today, the young man admitted before his military tribunal. He said, "We sat around, we drank whiskey, we played cards, we plotted the kidnapping, we went, we did it, we kidnapped the girl, I raped her, all my buddies raped her, then we killed her, and then we went and killed her family." That's a war crime.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's not just a murder. That is a war crime. That is a crime against humanity.
Right. And that should be judged somewhere else, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Geneva, for instance.
It should, or The Hague.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, The Hague. Yeah. That. Yeah. It goes under the Geneva Convention. That's what I meant to say.
And you know, frankly,
but they didn't. They don't honor that. That convention.
No.
And that's the problem.
And one of the more humane things about that, Angelica, is the fact that you know, this young man was facing the death penalty.
Uh huh.
And at least if he was tried at The Hague,
I heard you mention. Well, that's, of course he wouldn't get the death penalty.
He wouldn't even be facing it.
No.
And so it becomes much easier to get the truth.
Well, that, you know, was cringe. I still, you know, when you say, okay, so you're going to kill this man for what he did is reprehensible, but, you know, killing him is just as reprehensible.
Right. It's, you know, it's answering barbarity with more barbarity.
Absolutely.
And that's...
And something, too, you know, that people should think of, somebody has to do those, perform those executions. What about those people?
Right.
But
we've got people in this country that would love to have that job, Angelica.
I've seen the pictures of this where the gurney is, where people get strapped down mm-hmm. at the electric table, and it's like in a movie theater. They've got actually rows of seats, arranged so offset so everybody has a good view. I can't believe this. I cannot believe that people would actually sit in there and watch somebody die like that.
Oh, yes. And I would like to create a change in the way we talk about, for instance, we've got a nice bland little term for it. We call it lethal injection.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Well, it's proven.
It's torture. That's what it
sure
is.
Sure it is. Sure it is. But the other thing is, if you look at the gurney that we strap the guy down to, it's got little armrests that swing out from side to side so that they can inject the medications or the poisons. I mean, what medicine? No, it's poison. But what it boils down to, if you think about it, the guy's laying prone. His arms are out to one side on each side of his body. It is, in fact, a horizontal crucifixion.
You know, just talking about it just really makes my stomach turn. It really does.
It should.
It just, it is so inhumane, and then it's so... just so uncivilized to do that. People, they can be put to jail and have, 20, whatever, 30 years to think about what they've done. I think that would be just as fine, and it would serve the victim's relatives or whoever any better purpose to kill that person. And so what? Are they then... all of a sudden, less filled with pain for the loss.
Of course not. Does it make the horror of the preceding death any less? Of course not. It doesn't deter the next murder.
No.
Not at all.
No. That brings to mind another. I'm jumping around here at 1:30 in the morning. So
that's okay.
I'll
try to jump with you. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. You have to help me out once in a while, but. Like performing the execution, you have to have hire people. And when you say that you have people standing in line to do this, I find that absolutely just obscene. But we had something that was supposed to go also to the highest court, and they denied it. The Constitution Court as unconstitutional for. Airplane that may be used as a weapon to be shot down. A passenger airplane, I mean.
Right, because it would be an imposition of the death penalty on those passengers.
Yeah, and what pilot, this one pilot who has to go out and perform that mission, that would be against his constitutional rights to have to do something like that. Think about it. Who would you pick?
Right.
In order to perform and shoot down that airplane, that 747 with 400 people in it or whatever.
Well, see, and Dick Cheney lied through his teeth because he told the story after September 11th about how, well, we were trying to make the decision as to whether or not to shoot down. And the NORAD, the North American Air Defense Command tapes came out. They never even made the decision because the planes were already crashed before they were even thinking about it. These people are they're not only pig-eyed, mean, and stupid, they're also incompetent.
Uh-huh.
So
mean and stupid. I like that.
You can translate it to German and use it anytime. What would pig-eyed mean in stupid be auf Deutsch?
Was auf Deutsch? Schweineaugen, aber sowas gibt es nicht bei uns. Man sagt ein Schweinegesicht, aber nicht Schweineaugen.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I should speak English.
No. Put it in writing into an email. I'll work on my accent.
Remember, pig-eyed what now?
Pig-eyed mean and stupid.
Okay. Also pig-eyed and then gemein und dumm.
Gemein und dumm?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay, and the pig-eyed is einfach nur Schweineaugen.
Schweineaugen?
Schweinsäugig, ja, genau.
Schweinsäugig.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll work on it. Angelica, so good talking to you. And by the way, a message from the chat room. They miss you.
Yeah. They miss me and my chat addiction, I know. Just tell them I have to work. I don't have time.
They're listening. I'll be back, though. Okay, you'll be you back, know. But you've got to keep the lights on. All right. Thank you, Angelica.
But and a one. Listen, one more thing, if I
yes,
may.
Please.
I tried to call in to Joe Avecchio today, and mm-hmm. I couldn't get through. And I just wanted to get rid of something, on his behalf now that the subject is over on Walmart. Walmart was driven out of Germany with all its 85 stores, okay, in July this year.
Yeah, I remember that. They did leave.
Yes. So, I'm very glad, and it's not just because Walmart in the States has bad labor policies, but they also pave up the whole nature and the countryside. So,
that's so true.
You know, because they need humongous warehouses for their junk that they sell.
Yes.
And they, you know, that's why I hate them, and I should, you know, discourage people to buy there. And
well, congratulations to you and your fellow countrymen for seeing through them and getting rid of them.
Well, they lost a couple of teeth because they figured they could, you know, impose these whatever with wages they have. But we have labor laws here and unions, and they just didn't like that. And they had like $1 billion loss in this 8 years. Euros. That's even more.
Oh my goodness!
In 2000 alone, they had several hundred million euros loss after tax. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that is. I'd like personally. There aren't enough rotten things to happen to Walmart.
I know. It was just so happy because I hated them being here, and I thought, well. And then all of a sudden, they
so were they bought out
and they left.
Were they bought out by someone?
Yes, Real. It's just another chain of supermarkets and things. You know that they're already here locally.
But at least they're yours.
Yeah, they're ours, and they're not Walmart. But we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about Monsanto in some other time, okay?
Yes, indeed. And you have a wonderful morning.
Well, thank you.
Go to bed.
Yes, I will. I have so much to do, but I just might talk to you later, Bob, okay?
Bye.
Bye.
Our good friend Angelica calling from Deutschland. And to Bob in North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm here.
So am I.
Hey. Guess what?
What?
I am a Vietnam veteran.
Yes, sir, I know.
And I have more operations, I mean, combat operations behind me than anyone in the cabinet of the United States House of Representatives, the House or the Senate, mm-hmm. or that big house you got up there, that place of the, what do you call them, Bob?
Pig-eyed, mean, and stupid people?
Yeah, the Republicans.
Yeah.
The House of the Republicans. It's not the White House anymore. It's a house full of pigs. Yeah?
Yeah.
It's time that we get the pigs out of the house and they get back to normality.
Well, I strongly suggest that you be nowhere near a television, Bob, when dear leader gets off the plane and walks down onto the ground of Hanoi,
okay.
Because you might be profoundly moved to get the Elvis gun and shoot the television.
Bob, I shot a television back in 1972. I shot a television back in 1970. Was it 72 or 74, dear? She can't remember. It's 72.
You know, don't rely on the wife for that one. Honey, what year was it I got the Elvis gun out and shot the TV?
No, I got my shotgun out, and I blew that damn TV clean to hell.
Yeah, anytime you shoot the TV, it's the Elvis gun, Bob.
Well, I got the Elvis gun out, and I shot the TV. There was something. And the wife was out in the kitchen. She was making spaghetti and, you know, stuff.
Boom!
Yeah, she was feeding the kids, and I was out in the living room, and something came on that TV, and I just jacked around the chamber and pulled that trigger and blew that TV clean off the stand. Noise! What the hell did you do?
See, I'm guessing that was the day that Ford pardoned Nixon.
Yeah, it's pretty close to that because, you know, I guarded the SOB. I guarded him back there at San Clemente. I guarded Nixon. I guarded him.
Ick.
And then he acquiesced, and he just went off waving his two V fingers, you know. Hey, you ain't got dick to kick around anymore.
Me and Checkers were leaving.
Yeah, and the thing is, Bob, I am that combat vet you don't want to meet in the middle of the night, because I am sick and tired of you Republicans. If you're listening to this show, if you got it on your whatever, I don't know, on your internet, or if you're downloading, come see me, please. I'll give you rest. I will send you to meet your sweet Jesus in a heartbeat, Bob.
Well, you know, am I wrong or am I right? Is George Bush's arrival in Vietnam the ultimate desecration of the Vietnam War Memorial?
No, it's the ultimate desecration of every man that died fighting for a lie. Like John Kerry said, who among you want to be the man that sends the next man to die for a lie? Well, George Bush is that man. He would send anybody to die for his lies. He's lied to us. He's cheated us. He has stolen our treasury. He has cheated the American people out of their American Constitution. He has cheated the Iraqi people out of peace. He's cheated the world out of everything that they hold dearly. This man must go, and we must take him out, because this man, this George Bush, this George W. Bush, not George Herbert Walker Bush, who backed off before he destroyed more Iraqis and more people on this planet than he destroyed on the, what was that they called it, the highway of death?
Mm-hmm.
When they burned and destroyed more human beings than you've met in your life, they destroyed them, and Marines walked through that highway of death. They had to get to the Iraqi border through Kuwait or whatever country they were destroying them in. And that was Herbert Walker Bush, not Herbert whatever Herbert.
Yeah, H.W. and not W.
Yeah, not. It was just this scum family that has destroyed more people on this planet than Tojo or Hitler or you know, it's just this evil, this filthy, and I swear to my God that I believe in, my God of the universe, not my God of some Christian or Muslim or other faith.
Yeah.
Because I have a belief that there is something beyond me. But Bob, my friend, I say to you in truth that I do not, and I have never met God. He's never spoken to me, or she hasn't, and that's the thing that the problem with them. They think God is like them. You know, they're all white and they're all male. And
blue-eyed. Don't forget the blue eyes.
Or Catholic. You know, they got this crazy idea that God looks just like them, and he's sitting up there on a cloud, and he's looking down, and he's trying to tell us. And we are in, every other Wednesday, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, prayer meeting.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about religion and politics, and we're talking about don't mix the two, boy. Just don't mix religion and politics. And
I didn't. They did.
Yeah, they do, and I don't, because I don't have a religion. I do not accept any religion that has a church, okay?
Yeah.
Religion is between a man and his God. It's not between a preacher and a teacher or a preacher and a president. It's between a man and his God. And every man has to meet his God, whether it be Muslim or whether it be Christian or whether it be some other sect in the other world. But if this is reality and is time we get back to reality, Bob.
Well, I tend to concur.
And I know you do. And I know you're coming up on the end of the hour. And
clock watchers.
Hey, I watch the clock. Hey, I've used you up a lot of times, but I want you people to know, not Bob Kincaid or Agnes Kincaid, because you people really, you know, you and Agnes, you understand where I'm coming from. I am a combat veteran. And I did things that I'm ashamed of. And you people, the people that do not know where I'm from, should be ashamed of yourselves, because you did not. You didn't even have the courage to look into the books. You didn't even read the history of Vietnam before you put us into Iraq. Who are you? Who are you Republicans to say we deserve this? No, we don't. We did it once, and we shouldn't have done it twice, but we are.
Right, and people like General Abizaid out there, Bob, said, wow, you know, I think we can achieve stability in Iraq. That's proof that he needs to be cashiered. He needs to be drummed out. He needs to be, you know, retired, sent to a golf course somewhere.
Bob,
we can't stabilize Iraq. The American military, the American people can't do anything except make Iraq worse.
That's absolutely correct. But realize that I think it's last time I checked my combat record, I have 27 combat, major combat, operations against the insurgent Viet Cong, okay? The insurgent Viet, 27 combat operations against the insurgent Viet Cong in my record. And I can prove it because I got the doggone documents. So, hey, you know, I really do. I have them, and I'll send them to you online. If you do not understand that you're...
No, we believe you.
No, Bob, don't believe me. Test me. Check me. Do to me what you didn't do to George Bush before you voted for him. I'm not talking to you, but I'm talking
to... Yeah, I was going to say.
...voted for him. Check me out before you vote for me. Okay? And I know you won't vote for me because I'm one of them crazy Vietnam vets that really was there. And
you ain't running for anything.
You don't want us for nothing. You don't want us for nothing except to put me on a black marble wall in Washington and say, hey, wow, aren't those great guys? And those guys are my friends. They are my comrades. They're the people that I put in green plastic body bags and sent back to their mamas. And how many of you people can say that to me? That you sent me a United States Marine, retired, and I am sick to death of listening to the Republicans do what they do to people. And it's time that you people grew a pair and stood up on your hind legs and acted like Americans and said no more.
Well, I think our side is doing that, Bob. And I appreciate everything you've said.
I appreciate you, and I you tell Agnes, go to bed, sleep, girl. I love you, but damn it, get some rest.
We're trying. She
yeah,
says she will.
Don't listen to me either. Love you, boys.
You can go. You and me both, Bob. We can go talk to a wall. It's like talking to Agnes.
Hey, Glenda is the same kind of animal, and hey, I love her desperately.
All right, you take care, Bob.
Good night, my friend.
Later.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And we'll take a quick break. Then we'll come back. More of your phone calls. A couple of lines available if you want to jump in. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. We will be back. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Washes in the ebb and flow. Take these words out of my mouth. Drown them in the undertow. Somewhere I can live my life, patient, simple grace. I'm so weary of this world, sometimes I want to give up. River running through, give me drink from your loving cup.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The labor movement is mobilizing behind striking steelworkers at Goodyear Tire. The AFL-CIO is planning a nationwide day of action to protest what the Labor Federation says is Goodyear's assault on workers' rights and economic security. 15,000 steelworkers are on strike to keep plants open and good jobs in North America. In 2003, the steelworkers at Goodyear made some sacrifices to help the company financially stabilize. Now that Goodyear is profitable again, it wants to take even more from the workers, insisting on plant closings. Goodyear wants to close North American plants and destroy good union jobs so it can import 10 times more tires from China. The steelworkers say no to plant closings, and the AFL-CIO is standing shoulder to shoulder with the United Steelworkers in this fight. An attempt by the Bush administration to extend normal trade relations to Vietnam has been defeated in the House. Jesse Russell has more.
With majority support behind it, the measure to extend permanent normal trade relations to Vietnam was seen as sailing to an easy victory in the House of Representatives. However, it lacked the two-thirds needed to pass as a bill on the suspension calendar. The suspension calendar is generally reserved for non-controversial bills that would be expected to pass through the House if time permitted for them to make it to the floor. After hearing the results, Teamsters General President James Hoffa said that the defeat demonstrates that many members of Congress from both sides of the aisle and their constituents are tired of trade pacts that sell out workers everywhere. He added that the fact that because the current Republican majority brought the measure to a vote under the suspension calendar showed that they continue to be asleep at the wheel. In 2004, the U.S. State Department classified Vietnam's human rights record as poor. One of the primary reasons and a major concern to organized labor in the United States is the lack of a right of freedom of association. That right is what allows workers to organize and collectively bargain. In addition, Vietnam has had an ongoing problem with child labor law violations, although the government has taken steps in recent years to address these international concerns.
Rebecca Cooper, a steelworker who coordinated labor electoral efforts in Pennsylvania, says it was ordinary, fed-up working people feeling the pain of Republican policies who really transformed Congress. She says they were very emotional about the economy and the war in Iraq.
You cannot take the emotion out of that. You cannot take the fact that when people can't get their kids' teeth fixed, they go insane trying to sleep at night. You can't take that away from this election and try and make it about something that we targeted. At this point, the mill's been shut down. Your kid can't go to work there. Your retirement's on the line. He wants to make sure that you might be able to retire, so he enlists. Then you don't hear from him for 6 or 8 months, so you've got mothers who have never attended a protest, like with their little sweaty palms going and becoming activists. I mean, they've created a situation in which people have no choice but to take action.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Welcome to Wednesday Night Prayer Meeting with your host, Brother Bob Kincaid. Put your hands together, raise your eyes to the light, and welcome him. The truth will set you free. And now, here is Brother Bob Kincaid.
Hallelujah, brethren and sistren. Do please put your hands upon your computer speakers. Put your hands upon the telephone and ring up. Let's go to those self-same telephones. Our good friend Lee calls from North Carolina. Hey, Lee, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hallelujah, Bob. How you doing?
Amen, brother. Doing good.
Hey, look, Poppy to the rescue.
That's what it's supposed to be.
That is disgusting. This guy is homeless, what, 60 years old?
Yeah.
And his father has bailed him out of everything since he was, what, probably 13?
Yeah, or younger. Yeah. I mean, when we're talking about George W. Bush, we're talking about a guy who's going to screw up his own funeral.
That is total. I don't understand how the guy can get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, "Hey, I'm 60, and Daddy just had to get me out of another mess." That's amazing.
It is, but it's also par for the course, Lee.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know everybody's always talked about the Bushes as being the Bush crime family kind of equal to the Corleones.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blasphemy on the Corleones. I mean, come on, don't.
Well, I always looked at it this way. You know, the Corleone family makes you an offer you can't refuse. The Bush family makes you an offer you can't comprehend.
But you know, Don Corleone would be turning over in his grave if he was to be compared with Poppy Bush. I mean, Don Corleone was smart enough not to make Fredo the sandwich.
Jeez. George.
Yeah, Poppy said, "Hey, Fredo."
Yeah, go fishing.
What's that?
I said, "Yeah, Fredo, go fishing."
Yeah, cool. Go through it, and then and Poppy stood back for a couple years and said, "Well, you know, go for it, George. You've been asking to be on your own. Go for it. Go ahead, do it." And George had to call back to him, "Daddy, please help me." That's amazing. But I don't. What I really called about was all these people that I see on TV, all of these pundits that I see that I know they're younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And they all talk about we got to send more men. And all these guys look like they're about, you know, they're younger than 30. Anybody that comes on, if I had a show that came on my show, the first question I would ask them is, are you within
enlistment age?
Service range.
Yeah.
And if you are, why in the, and like Randy Rhoads said, why in the hell ain't you there?
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's a legitimate inquiry, Lee.
Yeah.
You know, if you support this war, put your boots on the ground. Support it with your rear end, not your mouth.
Absolutely. I think I heard one guy say he chose to serve it by running for office.
Yeah, that guy that was running in California that Stephen Colbert quietly eviscerated.
Yeah. And it's just amazing, you know, to me. That should be the very first question anybody asks. You know, anybody. Okay, you're on the show. How old are you? I'm 27. Why aren't you there?
We had a 22, 23-year-old had the nerve to run for the Republican as a Republican for a seat in our House of Delegates district over in Beckley, Lee. And I can't imagine why he was not hissed at everywhere he went. Why aren't you there? Because he was asked, you know, do you support the war? Oh, heck yeah! Why aren't you there?
The next question should be, why aren't you there?
And you know, people should have been showing up at his campaign appearances with little enlistment forms. Here, go!
Yeah, even if he's an old codger like me, you know. And, you know, I already did my thing in Vietnam, and I do have to, you know, preface this with the thing. I am not like your buddy who was at the Bob that just got off the phone.
Yeah.
I didn't go into combat. I served during Vietnam.
Okay.
But I was available to go.
Yeah.
Okay. But even an old conscript like me, if he gets on a show, hey, you don't ask him why aren't you there. You ask him, where are your children?
Right. Exactly.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, well, I'm...
Why are you there, or where are your children?
We've got a soon-to-be, brand-new, minted U.S. senator from the great state of Tennessee by the name of Bob Corker. Got military-age daughters. Have they signed up yet?
So does George. George has military-age daughters.
Sure.
I think Jed has military-age sons. George has a bunch of military-age nephews and nieces. Where are they?
Not in Iraq.
Well, I know that.
On the other hand, Jim Webb, just elected to the Senate from Virginia, guess where his son is?
He's in...
Iraq.
Yeah. And... Nah, you know...
You know, I'll tell you something, Lee, and it has crossed my mind on a number of occasions. I have got... You know, it's easy for me to say now because I'm outside the range... but at one point I wasn't, and I thought strongly about putting my butt where my mouth was. I oppose the war, but you know maybe you know. But you know, I thought at one point maybe if my rear end is over there, somebody else won't be who doesn't need to be.
You know, I oppose the war from the very start for a couple of reasons. For one, the first reason was that I knew that it was illegitimate. I mean, totally illegitimate. I knew this man was lying. I would never, ever believe anything that George Bush ever said.
Lee, when he started running his mouth about the war, what was it that made you know he was lying? Well, I mean, and see, that's the thing. Just because it's George Bush doesn't count.
He was moving his lips.
Yeah, but, see, but I mean, there were...
But you know, yeah. You know something? You do not fire up a United States naval group and set them in motion and think you're going to stop them. You know, when I basically found out, I forget what naval group was on their way there, I said, hey, that's it. It's over. You don't stop them once they go. It's like, you know, trying to turn a ship.
Yeah.
You just can't do it in that little bit of space.
No, you absolutely can't.
Plus, I never trusted George Bush from the very beginning. I don't know if I told you that my wife and I sat down just when he was running for president, and we basically, and this is no lie, we basically said, if this man is elected, he's going to destroy the economy and he's going to get us into a war. And I don't know why I felt that, but I just did. And he did exactly that. Although he did worse, I had no idea that he would be so bad. I knew he'd be bad. I didn't know he would be this bad.
Well, you know, you knew he'd be incompetent. It goes back to the very fact that, you know, what you said, his daddy has bailed him out of his entire life.
His whole life.
And, you know, we tried to tell people before the 2000 election, look, this guy has screwed up everything he's touched. Are you willing to let him do that to the United States of America? And they said, well, you know, it's not so much about the man who's president. It's about the competent, grown-up leadership management team that he'll surround himself with. And everybody knows that, you know, that there are going to be competent people involved in a Bush cabinet.
Yeah, well...
And we got certifiably insane people. You know, we got Cheney and Rummy.
Yeah. Well, you know, Poppy Bush turned his son over to a couple of maniacs. And he sat back and just watched. And then he said, whoa, wait a minute. This guy, I turned him over to a couple of maniacs.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's all you can call them. I mean, Rumsfeld, I mean, I watched a video collage the other day of some of Rumsfeld's greatest hits, and of course it ended with the known gnomes and the unknown gnomes and the garden gnomes and, you know, and we saw this coming, Lee. We saw it coming like the light on a freight train on a dark night 10 miles away.
Yeah. that's what gets me about the Democrats in Congress that say the ones that try to justify voting, you know, for the war. I mean, they're saying that, you know, there was, you know, information that we didn't know or whatever. I mean, come on. I don't have any inside information, but I knew.
Yeah, you know, common sense told you.
I mean, I knew, and this garbage about them being accepted, you know, and flowers and all this stuff. I mean, come on. All you got to do, I mean, it's very simple. Put yourself in another man's place.
Well,
to invade the United States, you're not going to greet them with flowers. You're going to greet them with bullets.
And even the most modest amount of historical perspective, Lee, would tell you that that army was not going to come out and line up and fight us with Napoleonic warfare tactics.
They would be stupid to do so.
When you are invaded, you disappear into your native population. You hide the uniform. You put the guns under the house.
The Continental Army did the exact same thing.
Sure.
They did the exact same thing. And the British were complaining that they wouldn't come out and line up in rows and fight them like men.
Not terribly sporting, really. You know, it's not cricket at all. They won't come out and fight.
Yeah.
And we're surprised. And I mean, what do you do with John Abizaid, Lee? I mean, I was being a little bit of a smart aleck, but... there's something wrong with his thought processes. He still thinks that the American military can effect meaningful change in Iraq.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't think that. Anybody that thinks he
so he's just going and lying to Congress and thinking he's going to get away with it?
No, I don't for a second think that it's... What he said was not lying. It was, you would never be able to pin him with a lie. He gave his thoughts. You know, this is what I feel. This is how he did. He never did say this is exactly what we did and why we did it. He said this is what we thought, and you can't you can't put any boundaries on thoughts. You can't tell anybody. You know, in the book 1984, you know, the thought police. But we don't have thought police.
No, but we're on the way to it.
Yeah. And, you know, Ronald Reagan really got into this stuff about, you know, what did he say about when he was lying, you know, I don't remember or I don't recall. That's basically what Abizaid was saying. He didn't say I don't recall. He was just saying, you know, that those are my feelings. I have feelings. Everybody got feelings. And, you know, everybody's feelings is, you know, you just got feelings. Your feelings may be right or wrong.
Any statement from a chief on the ground general that begins with I believe, the guy should be stood up and frog marched out of the room. You know, you don't get those stars on your shoulder boards for what you believe. You get it for looking at a situation and applying tactics and strategy to it and coming up with a reasonable answer.
Well, you know something, you don't get stars on your shoulders even for being competent. You get stars on your shoulders for being political, and that's the way the military is.
Well, sure.
When I was in the military, I knew some very, very competent officers and some very incompetent officers. And the incompetent ones always got the promotion. They got the promotion because they played the political game. And the higher you go, the more political you are.
Well, absolutely, because, like I said early on, Abizaid didn't get the job because he was a genius tactician.
He got the job because somebody else that Bush wanted to spew his garbage said no, like General Zinni.
Yeah.
And General Zinni was politely pushed aside.
And Shinseki.
And Shinseki, yeah.
And who's the guy that didn't get to unpack his bags? He was supposed to have the viceroy job in Baghdad. Jay Garner. Yeah, he got there and started talking about elections as quick as possible, and
can't have that.
Yeah, I mean, the bags didn't. I mean, they sent it. Don't unpack. And he was gone, and Jerry Bremer, J. Paul Bremer, was into that job. He came in, lost $9 billion, left the job, and then he and who's this? Got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That's the only thing that remains to Rumsfeld. I mean, that's the only thing Rumsfeld doesn't have now. He needs the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and we'll know that the upward demotion will be complete.
Well, he'll get it. He'll get it.
Sure, he will.
I mean, it's just amazing. John Murtha. Basically is running for House Majority Leader.
Majority Whip.
Majority Leader. House Majority, Majority Leader. And I don't know too much about him, but I do know that I saw him on one of those interview shows, and he was trying to justify earmarks.
Mm-hmm.
And I really could not believe it. I mean, the guy, he's a hero. He's a hero for the fact that he really opened everybody up to...
Well, he made the debate within the halls of Congress possible.
Right, right.
At least where the war is concerned.
Right.
Let's be very, very clear about this. John Murtha is not my vision of the perfect congressman.
Well, he's not mine. He's not mine either. I will give him, the fact that he really did open up that debate. He opened up, people questioning the war. Before him, nobody would question the war. And I appreciate him for that. But other than that, he's a Democrat in name only. All of his other policies.
Well, he comes from a place, Lee, that shares a lot of his feelings on things. He doesn't believe that a woman, to the best of my knowledge, unless he's had a sea change, he doesn't believe that a woman has the right to control her own insides.
Yeah.
Before the war problems hit, he had never met a defense spending bill that he didn't want to sign. Ooh, you want a new airplane? I want you to have a new airplane.
I will give him this. I believe that he does feel deeply about the American military.
Oh, I think he is more sincere about his regard, his respect, and his love for the American military than just about anybody else in the halls of Congress.
Right. He put his whole reputation up. He put everything up for that. But for everything else, I don't want to see him as the majority leader.
Well, I'm just I'm disturbed that there shouldn't. I think this should have been sorted out privately, and there shouldn't have even been a vote between two candidates for the position, either Steny Hoyer or John Murtha or somebody. But there needed to be a unified front. The same thing, but we're seeing some of this come out now. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but James Carville has called for the firing of Howard Dean.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, he says that it's Dean's fault that we've only got a 30-seat majority in the House instead of a 50-seat majority.
It's Dean's fault that we didn't lose.
Well, I think
Dean was the guy that went for, we're going to go for all 50 states.
Carville had a meeting, Lee. He had a meeting with some political reporters in Texas, I believe it was. This is according to a report in the Austin American-Statesman. And Carville said that Democrats could have picked up as many as 50 House seats instead of the nearly 30 they have so far, but Dean's Democratic National Committee didn't spend some $6 million it could have used in the so-called third-tier House races against vulnerable Republicans. A reporter asked him whether Dean should be fired, and Carville said, in a word, do I think? Yes. He compared him to Rumsfeld. Now, see, this is the kind of stuff we really don't need right now, Lee.
Dean had a, as far as I know anyway, everything I heard, Dean had a 50-state strategy. Everybody else wanted to write off the South.
Well,
how are you going to write off the South? This is what the Democrats have been doing for the last 15 years.
Yeah, and it was
off the stump.
Exactly, and it was a surefire loser. You know, but the thing is, you got to remember that James Carville is old buddies with Rahm Emanuel. Okay, it was Rahm Emanuel's Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee that didn't spend the money, Lee. It was the DCCC that waited until the last week to give money to Mike Callahan, who could have beaten Shelley Moore Capito in West Virginia's 2nd District. It was the DCCC that didn't give any money to Tony Truppiano in Michigan's 11th when he was out busting his butt and providing a viable opposition to But you know, it happened in various different places where people were ignored.
Well, you know, we still have and it's in my district in North Carolina, we still have a seat that's open. It's supposed to be, there's supposed to be a recount, I think, later this week between Robin Hayes, the Republican, and forget his first name, his last name is Kissel.
Mm-hmm.
And the PNC didn't put a penny into Kissel's campaign. And Kissel got it to the point where there had to be a runoff. If they had put anything into it, anything, Kissel would have won.
Yeah, going away.
Flat out. And all this stuff about the... Everybody's saying, you know, oh, everything's cool, everything's good. don't worry about the voting machines because you see the Democrats won. They won in spite of... What, George Allen, do you know why George Allen conceded and didn't fight? He knew doggone well that if he fought it and if he demanded a recount, it would probably show that he lost by a heck of a lot more because there was some shenanigans going on.
Right, and he likely would, he or his nearest and dearest would have faced indictment.
Yeah,
because of the fact that you know, they got literally caught doing these a felony's a felony, and calling somebody and telling them they'll be arrested for voting if they show up on Tuesday is a felony.
But did you notice that conveniently no Republican fought anything? They didn't fight anything in Montana, where the vote was razor thin. They didn't fight anything. If they did, probably you would have found out that they should have lost by a heck of a lot more.
There's that possibility, and there's also the fact that there was a body of quotes from people like Allen and that crazy Conrad Burns castigating Democrats for asking for recounts and wanting the votes to be counted. You know, these are the guys, the shock troops, who came out and said, wow, they're just sore losers. And they were about to be just beaten about the head and shoulders with all that. Lee, it's good talking to you, but I got to roll on. We got to hit the news.
Okay, can I say one thing?
Yes, you certainly may.
The other night, I think I talked to you, weren't on the radio, and I told you I like Mike Malloy because of his passion, and Guy James because his rants were very intellectual, and I didn't say anything about you. I never called either one of those two. I called you because, I can talk to this guy. When I didn't think I could talk to the other guys.
Well, thank you, Lee. I appreciate that. That's what we try to do here.
I really talk to this guy.
We don't.
Okay.
Yeah, this is about the conversation. It's about the dialogue. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And we do appreciate it. You have a good evening.
You too.
Bye now. We've never lost a caller to this day. I'd like to think of this as. I'd like to think of it. Well, okay. Agnes hangs up on one from time to time, but you know, but that you know that's the codeine.
Let's go, Bob.
Have another shot, baby. We'll be back after the news. This is Head On.
She drives a new car, wears expensive blouses. She tells her mama she's cleaning houses. She goes out witnessing to
doing the Lord's work all week, but on the weekends she's making ends meet. Joni, the Jehovah Witness stripper.
This is the Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill today, top U.S. Commander General John Abizaid told the Armed Services Committee of the Senate it was a mistake to set a timetable for withdrawal of troops from Iraq. He said it would hurt the commander's flexibility on the ground. The New York Times reports some former military leaders who are against the war say a quick pullout of American troops from Iraq will most likely accelerate civil war in Iraq rather than stop it. In Baghdad, Iraqi officials say about 70 of the estimated 150 educators kidnapped yesterday in a brazen raid of a government education building have been released. It's unclear how many are still being held. The victims were abducted by armed gunmen dressed in uniforms. Also in Iraq, the U.S. military announced the deaths of six more troops, three soldiers and three Marines, killed in combat yesterday. That raises the American death toll in the Iraq War to at least 2,858. 40 of them have been killed so far this month. Elsewhere in Iraq, at least 20 Iraqi civilians were killed in violence today, including two Iraqi journalists. 47 others were injured. In Washington, a GAO report today says $76 million the U.S. gave to promote democracy in Cuba has been spent on items such as cashmere sweaters, computer games, and luxury foods. The report released today says the money was paid to Cuban dissidents, academics, and independent journalists. A Kremlin spokesman confirmed a bilateral agreement has been reached between Washington and Moscow. Russia will enter the World Trade Organization. The agreement will be signed at the end of the week at the Pacific Rim Economic Summit in Hanoi. In Maryland, convicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff began his six-year sentence at a minimum security prison. He was convicted in a fraudulent deal involving the purchase of Florida casino ships. In Japan, a powerful undersea earthquake struck last night off the country's northern coast. The 8.1 trembler prompted tsunami warnings, later canceled, for Japan, Russia, and Alaska. In the American South, powerful thunderstorms hit today, killing one man in Louisiana and injuring eight people in Mississippi. The storms brought heavy rain and tornadoes to the area earlier this morning. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
Researchers at the University of Utah say the venom from a cone snail found in coastal waters may be useful in treating some human pain. The findings are published in a current journal from the National Academy of Sciences. U.S. researchers have discovered a link between gum disease and pancreatic cancer. Preliminary findings suggest harmful bacteria associated with gum disease may contribute to the risk of developing the deadly cancer. U.S. Airways has made an $8 billion bid in cash and stock for Delta Airlines. Delta, under bankruptcy protection, says it is not interested in a takeover. The deal would create one of the largest air carriers serving more than 350 destinations on five continents. The federal agency insuring private pension plans for millions of Americans reported an $18 billion deficit this year. However, that is a stabilization, reportedly a major improvement from last year. A retail analyst says the top three items on Christmas wish list this year are Barbie dolls, tunic tops, and digital cameras. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.76 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 34 points at 12,251. The Nasdaq up 12 at 2442. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Okay, I got to admit, we take a break during the news, and I had taken my cans off my ears. So I only caught a part of what Annabelle Lund said there on the QNN newscast. The nation's pension plans are $18 billion short, but that's a good thing? Not criticizing what Annabelle... But no, the government says that's good because it's a stabilization. Okay, you know the pigs are constantly hammering on us and saying, "Oh yeah, well, Bush economy is very good." You know, I think of the Republican Party as Barney down at the bar on The Simpsons. Oh, it's very good. You know, just a mind eaten away with various and sundry substance abuse. And so
the market's gone through the roof, Homer.
And at the same time, you find out that the pension bailout is $18 billion. Jesus, that's a couple of weeks in Iraq worth. Oh, we're in good shape.
And what we need to do to stabilize all of this is make the tax cuts permanent.
Stay on the plane. Stay somewhere out of the United States, George. Do us a favor. Email in from our good buddy Billy Shears. He says, I just got back from picking somebody up at the airport, and while waiting, I noticed this guy walk by. It was a real live soldier. Well, this was my opportunity to finally speak with the real deal. So I approached him. I said, would you mind if I asked you a question? I hope this doesn't insult you in any way, but I got to ask, do you believe we belong in Iraq? He grinned and looked around as if to avoid being overheard and said, almost forming the word no, but caught himself and just finished by saying, I really shouldn't answer that. I told him, got it, and thanked him for his answer. He nodded in agreement and continued on. I get the feeling the worm's a-turning. Now we need to get the worm impeached. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I'm one of those people that the Democratic Party doesn't like to admit exists. I'm an impeachment guy, because I'm a constitutional guy. I get all worked up, you know. It was my first trip to Washington D.C. in eons when we were there this past September, and you know I walked around like a wide-eyed 9-year-old, you know, staring at all these magnificent buildings and thinking about what it really, 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 really means. I mean, you know, the real Gomer Pyle moment on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Sergeant Carter, I can't sing. You know, the whole thing. And all that is because of the reverence, the profound reverence I feel for a document that comes as close to something that is sacred as a secular society has to offer, and that is the United States Constitution. If you think about the hellish heat of 1787? Is it 1787? My sister, the high school history teacher, could help out and would be ashamed of me that I'm sitting here asking myself if it was 1787. The heat of New York? Was it New York? Oh, boy, I'm really giving myself away tonight. A New York summer? A Philadelphia summer? And sitting around in the sweltering heat trying to put together something that will last and will protect you against all comers, and more than that, protect you against, protect a young nation against overreaching, power-hungry, mad fiends within its own body. And within that Constitution, there is built in a mechanism whereby we deal with people who get elected to office, and then we find out that they're crooks, criminals, or insane. And that process is called impeachment. And it is it's not there as a ceremonial power. It is not there as a power that is to be used only in the most dire of circumstances. It's there to be used the minute the minute that the Congress finds out that there is a madman in the White House. Because the framers of the Constitution, the authors of the Constitution, understood very well that from time to time we were liable to get a bad egg into the position of chief magistrate or chief executive. And that when there needed to be a meaningful and an operable process whereby that person can be removed from office. You know, they didn't put in a criminal code into the Constitution. They just said high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, that was as recently as, less than 10 years ago, defined as having a woman consensually perform oral sex. Sorry, but, I mean, that's how the Republicans defined it. But we're being told now that we have to be conciliatory. We can't impeach. Well, I mentioned this story out of the newspaper, out of the Washington Post, in my conversation earlier with our good friend Angelica from Germany, authored by Dan Egan, staff writer with the Washington Post. Headline: CIA acknowledges two interrogation memos. After years of denials, the CIA has formally acknowledged the existence of two classified documents governing aggressive interrogation and detention policies. See, that's how you have to write it if you want to keep getting your payday from the Washington Post company. After years of denials, the CIA has formally acknowledged the existence of two classified documents governing torture, according to the American Civil Liberties Union. But, you know, you can't, you know, in the refined, rarefied, decent, upstanding, reach-across-the-aisle kind of bipartisan nature of the Washington, you can't call it torture, but it is. CIA lawyers themselves say that the two documents, memoranda from President Bush and the Justice Department, are still so sensitive, too sensitive, that no portion can be released to the public. That's right, American citizen. That's right, sovereign person. You're too stupid to understand the highly sensitive language contained in the memorandum. So sensitive that no portion can be released to the public. The disclosures by the CIA General Counsel's office came in a letter Friday to attorneys for the ACLU. The group had filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court in New York 2 years ago under the Freedom of Information Act. The CIA has released more than 100,000 pages of documents, but they didn't release those two memos. The ACLU, God bless them, hung on like bulldogs until the CIA finally had to fess up. And so they didn't disclose the documents, but they sort of described them. The first document is a directive, and if they made the ACLU describe it first, because the CIA, that's too broad. You know, we're pretty dumb here, and, you know, we got a lot of paperwork, and we couldn't possibly find it unless you described it with specificity. George Bush sends us memos all the time. You'd be surprised. It's amazing the memos that man sends. You mean the directive that Dear Leader signed that told the CIA which torture methods it could use or set up secret torture prisons outside the boundaries of the United States? Never seen it. Okay, we've seen it. We've got it. we've got it. But ACLU, you people are too damn dumb to understand it. It's really complicated, okay? You couldn't understand it if we handed it to you. I mean, we'd have to give you a map, and then they'd learn all of our secrets and know where we kept our Frisbees and our wheat checks and Aunt Ethel's secret fudge recipe, and then everything would just go to hell. You can't see it, but it exists. It exists. The other document, a memo from August of 2002 from the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel to the CIA General Counsel. The ACLU description calls it, says that it specifies interrogation methods that the CIA may use against top Al-Qaeda members, or goat herders from Afghanistan, or stupid little gang members from Chicago, or dudes that wanted tennis shoes from Miami. And it's not the same memo, by the way, as the Justice Department memo, also of August 2002, that narrowed the definition of torture. You remember that one. That was the one where Alberto Gonzalez said that it wasn't torture if it didn't cause organ failure or death. That was the one that got me so cotton-picking mad that I wanted, when he was confirmed as Attorney General, I wanted, it's not so bad. You know, just take the memo and say, Alberto, we're very glad you brought your son with us. Son, come up here and stand on this box. And then you hook the jumper cables to the boy, and you put the hood over his head, and he begins to weep and pee on himself. And Mrs. Torture Lady Gonzalez begins to squeal and writhe in her seat, and Alberto is still sitting there calmly at his table. And you say, we're gonna run a little voltage through the boy. Is that okay, Alberto? Don't worry, it won't cause organ failure or death. Your wife seems to be having a little bit of distress. Do you think? We're not torturing her, are we? Making her watch her boy get hooked up to jumper cables. That's not torture for her, is it? I mean, now check, Mr. Gonzalez. You make sure and check. Reach, turn around there. Make sure wifey's not suffering organ failure or death or anything. Because we sure wouldn't want to torture her. That is how Alberto Gonzalez's confirmation hearing should have gone. But that's that memo. This is a different memo. And it gives specific interrogation methods that are accepted. That would include waterboarding. That would include rubbing simulated menstrual blood across a Muslim man's face and telling him that he is now defiled in the eyes of Allah and cannot enter paradise, so he'd better start talking. And once you've done that, then you have him put on a bra and a pair of panties. And you make him dance like a woman in front of some other Muslim men. Because, see, we all know that, we know all of that happened now because of the lawsuit that was filed in Germany. But, you see, the CIA has greater loyalty to George Bush than it does to the people who own and run this government. The CIA has more loyalty to George Bush. The CIA has more loyalty to Poppy Bush. The CIA has more loyalty to the Republican Party than it does to you, citizen. Than it does to you, voter. Now, hopefully, the ACLU will continue to appeal the claims of the CIA Office of General Counsel. How do you look at yourself in the morning when you're the General Counsel to the CIA? I'm sure it's a very expensive mirror, but, mirrors can only go so far. The CIA said, the documents are withheld in their entirety because there is no meaningful, non-exempt information that can reasonably be segregated from the exempt information. How the hell can you make that determination unless a judge gets to see it? Isn't that the province of the judge and not the party to the lawsuit? Lord, there are moments, oh, how I would love to be a federal judge and look at general counsel to the CIA and say, son, you just screwed up. Bailiff, take him away and check with him periodically and see if he... I hold you in contempt, son, and you can come out of jail whenever you decide to purge yourself of your contempt. If the CIA doesn't like it, tell George Bush to send his army to get you out. You see, we are in a constitutional crisis in the United States of America. This business of, we can't impeach George Bush because it would cause a constitutional crisis. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the constitutional crisis is already upon us. What we have to do is force a resolution to the constitutional crisis. And that resolution comes when men and women of great good character and profound courage stand up to these thugs like the general counsel of the CIA and say, sorry, it don't wash. General Counsel McPherson also wrote that neither document, neither of these two these aren't documents, damn it, they are impeachable offenses. One of them has the signature of George Walker Bush on it, and it permits torture. And it is the prima facie evidence in support of impeachment. But Mr. McPherson, General Counsel McPherson, whom I would not cross the street to spit on, said that neither document can be released to the public because of reasons of national security, but not just that, of attorney-client privilege. Check it out. You look at the statutes. You look at the statutes of any state in this nation. You look at the statutes of the federal government itself regarding attorney-client privilege, and you will find a statement that says the privilege does not attach to knowledge between the attorney and the client of past, present, or future criminal acts. There is no attorney-client privilege for criminal conduct. Amrit Singh is one of the ACLU attorneys. And he said, for more than 3 years, they've refused to even confirm or deny the existence of these records. The fact that they're now choosing to do so confirms that their position was unjustified from the start. Now we can begin to actually litigate the release of these documents. How many people have been disappeared? How many people have died? How many people have been tormented? Because, you know, frankly, what you do to an ordinary, everyday American, unless he's, of course, like a weirdo evangelical type, I guess the bra and the panties thing and the dancing in front of the men would either really thrill or really terrorize an evangelical American, just like they would a Muslim, because, you know, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two. They're all fundamentalists. They're all terrorists. But, you know, ordinary, normal America is going to respond to that kind of treatment differently than a person trapped in 12th century religious dogma. And that applies to Shia, Sunni. That applies to Baathists. No, they were kind of secular, weren't they? Shia, Sunni, not Baathists. Baptists, I'm sorry. Dobsonians, Falwellians, Robertsonians. These are the kind of creeps that a little piece of clothing will drive absolutely bug spray crazy. Oh, Jesus, it's the demon maiden form. Oh, my God. My God. But you, citizen, are too darn stupid. You deserve to be kept in the dark. You deserve to be to have your sons and daughters led to the slaughter like bleating lambs, because you dare not see the real ugly truth inside the Bush CIA. You dare not see the vile, filthy, and murderous words that are laid out that spell torture that are authored by George W. Bush. Dear God, where are we? Let's go to the phones. Luke is calling. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, well, you know how it is. I was kind of worried there for a while. You know, I thought this whole thing with Murtha and Hoyer was going to get out of hand. But, you know, I should have had faith. The Republicans show up to save us again. I mean, what's the best thing they could do? Well, we're going to put Trent Lott back in the
true. That was a moment of genius.
You know, I mean, you're just sitting there just going, you know. I mean, the only thing they could have done any better would have been gone down to South Carolina and dug you-know-who up. You know, come on, get him up. He probably still looked just about the same.
But you know, or not much different.
I was going to say, they keep showing the thing where he was there at the, where Lott was at the thing where he made the comment.
Mm-hmm.
And you look over there at him, it's like, damn, I've seen dead people look better than he did.
Looks like the guy from Tales from the Crypt.
He didn't look that good. Oh, God. But you know what I mean? It's more like, you know, I thought this thing with Murtha was going to go on for another day or two because they're still going to milk it. Some of them will. But like I say, thank you, Trent. You've knocked it off the front page. But, you know.
And he's been elected, right? I mean, it's done. It's over.
Oh, he beat the flannel one by one vote.
Oh, poor Lamar.
And they said,
nobody loves Lamar.
Well, Lamar was saying, I've been pushing for this for 18 months. It's like, Jesus. And apparently, Lott just decided to do this a few days ago when he got on the phone. By golly, beat him by a vote.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lordy, I tell you. But, no, you were talking earlier about Emanuel. It's like, okay, he says DCCC. Well, where does it say DCCC DLC is what I want to know.
Yeah.
Because it's like, from what I understand, most anybody in the, you know, they were everybody's been talking about, well, you got some conservative candidates. They're like, well, yeah, because Rahm Emanuel wasn't giving any money to the liberal candidates.
Yeah.
They were having to get theirs from other sources.
There were candidates who had $500,000 that they had spent on their campaigns, but suddenly the rules became a little bit different for Rahm Emanuel. He said it only counted if you had $500,000 in the bank.
Yeah.
You couldn't be spending it on your campaign.
Well, let's see. You mentioned a couple. I remember Nancy Skinner.
Nancy Skinner, Sam Simpson.
Yeah, I mean, those a couple of the ones out in California. I can't remember all the names.
John Lash in Illinois.
Yeah.
Lash.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Because you and I, we both get the emails from these people, and I gave some money to Nancy. You know.
I had a lot of these people on the program. And, you know, you could tell talking to them that they were committed, that they were caring, that they were intelligent, and that they would have been a credit, not only to the people of their district, but to you and me, Luke.
Well, and, you know, and this thing about Dean, it's like, look, without Dean, half of the ones that got elected wouldn't even been in competition.
Right.
Because the DCCC would have said, oh, don't even spend any money, don't even have run anybody there. I mean, I'm sitting down here in a place where like I say, we've got the Duncan family against, where if they run a Democrat against them, it's usually a miracle.
I know. And see, that's the thing. If it had been left up to Rahm Emanuel, they would have only funded congressional races in...
Where they were sure they could win.
Where they were sure they could win, and darn sure not in any states that were predominantly red. You know, but as it stands, we didn't lose a single incumbent, and we gained seats. You know, my God, I mean, what is that?
What if they spread it out the right way, you know, and gave out a little bit more money to the right people?
You know, somebody needs to ask Rahm Emanuel if Southern Democrats matter to him.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. You know, because you and I have talked so much here about the Ford race. You know, I'm just curious to actually see what the numbers were. You know, when they quit sending the money to DeWine and all these people and started throwing the money down here. I'm just curious in that last couple of weeks how much money they spent, because, damn, you cannot turn the TV on and not see a Corker commercial.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
And now is the time to turn the heat up. Bob, send your daughters to Iraq.
Well, you know, the thing on some of these things, it's like I say, I'm waiting to our local guy. I'm wanting to get on him about, you know, we were talking about the other day about, you know, how much damage has this done to us for ever getting anybody to come to our state again? You know, any job anybody wants to move a company here, well, we're going to pop in this little Call Me tape. Isn't that a nice little tape?
Doesn't that make you want to locate in Tennessee?
Oh, I tell you.
You know, I heard that Toyota North America was moving to Nashville. Let's show that ad to the Toyota executives and see how they feel about their decision now.
I don't know. One thing though, you were talking earlier about the stupid guy and the fact that, you know, everybody kept saying, well, he's going to hire good people around him.
Oh, I remember being told the grown-ups were going to be in charge now.
Well, you know, if you listen to, well, especially like Tweety Bird and some of these others, if you ever listen to them, every time they talk about it, it's like, well, it isn't Bush's fault. It's all the people around him. It's like, well, who hired the people around him? You know, it's like every time you listen to him, they're trying to excuse him. The one I liked the other day was, what was it, when they were talking about Baker and him coming in, they said, it's sort of like the deprogrammers coming in to get your child away from the Moonies. So this is the cult of the neocons, and they're trying to break George of the habit. It's like, I hate to tell you, he's one of the grand wizards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he ain't a follower. I mean, he may not be the bright bulb in the classroom, but he ain't being drugged along. You know,
well, you know,
he's walking right in lockstep.
You mentioned Moonies, and that brought something to mind, Luke. I've got a story still in the stack for the prayer meeting we haven't quite got around to. Shame on me. The Roman Catholic Church is convening a meeting concerning its 15,000 married priests.
Oh, the thing where the Pope's talking about maybe changing some of the celibacy rules?
Or, you know, sort of letting them in but not saying that that anybody else can marry. Because they've got this one problem bishop. And the guy married, dig this, he married a bride chosen for him by Reverend Moon.
In one of his 10,000 people weddings?
I think so. And then turned around and consecrated the marriages of a whole bunch of priests in Africa. And then they drummed him out, and he said, nah-uh. And then he showed up again in his bishop's robes in the United States and started marrying people again. There's a real problem brewing there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was sitting here watching Keith on mute, and he's got Greenwald. They're talking about the thing with Fox News and this little memo that got leaked.
Keep an eye out for any Iraqi insurgents who say that they're glad the Democrats run. We need to run that.
It's like, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, you people really should just start writing stuff on flash paper, because I tell you what, when you all write something down on the computer, it's going to show up somewhere.
Well, it needs to. America needs to know that. The sad thing is, it's not being carried on Fox, so therefore the brain-dead Fox people, they don't know about it.
Oh, I tell you what, you know, the person who I'm enjoying watching now more than anybody else, not from our regular group, is, have you watched this guy that's over in Baghdad that's on CNN, Michael Ware?
Yeah, I've seen him a couple of times.
I tell you what, when you see him, sometimes Wolf asks him questions, you can just see it, and the way he's talking, he really wants to tell Wolf the whole truth. It's like, Wolf, these people are crazy!
Yeah, but I don't want to get stuck over here without a plane ticket home.
Yeah.
So I'm going to water it down.
I don't know what you want me to say, but boy, I tell you what, just from his tone and some of the things he says, you can tell that he is not a happy camper where he is either.
Yeah, wait till you and me get alone with a glass of scotch at the company Christmas party, Wolf.
It's one of those things, I hate it's going to be this way. In a couple of years, I'd like to have him and like Laura Logan and Christiane Amanpour sit down and have a nice little C-SPAN 2-3 hour talk and answer questions one morning, because these are three people who've seen it and know that we're nuts.
Yeah, and John Abizade is crazier than a run over dog.
Oh, it's like I'm just surprised, you know, that where we were talking about Trent, I'm just surprised they haven't gone ahead and reelected Delay to something. He ain't got a seat anymore. What the hell? Come on, we'll just vote you in anyway.
Nah, he's going to go be a lobbyist after he's acquitted, Luke.
I'm going to say one thing.
Yeah.
Right now that slightly, not dirty, but you'll understand when I say it. We're in all this because George Bush wanted to have a pissing contest with his daddy.
Yeah.
He wanted to say, I could do something daddy couldn't do. I mean, if you get this thing down to its absolute core, that's what this is about. This is about saying, I did something daddy couldn't do.
And that's true, because to his credit, daddy didn't kill 3,000 of his own people in the first Gulf War.
Well, like I say, they got to, I remember watching, I'll tell you, this is a good story. I got to watch the entire Gulf War because I was having my appendix out.
Oh, now that's a heck of a combination.
So I got to sit there except for like the first day when they took me to the rip-out room. And I got to sit and watch it for like 3 days straight.
Oh, Lord. Oh.
And, but, you mean, it's one of those things you got to wonder. You really would have loved to have heard the meeting when it had Powell and, I'm going to blank now, the general.
Shinseki or no. Zinni or?
No, from Gulf War One.
Schwarzkopf?
Schwarzkopf. You'd love to have heard that when he said it there and went, you go to Baghdad, you're insane. Because I'm sure they probably had one of those nice little video conference calls with Schwarzkopf and Powell in Iraq calling back over to Washington going, we ain't staying. If we stay, I'll quit. You know, I'm sure he probably did. Because like I say, you better get ready to lose a few thousand people.
Exactly. Hey, Luke, I got to roll on.
Good evening.
Thanks for the call, man.
Howdy.
Talk to you soon. Bye now. And onward to our good friend Rick calling from Texas. Hey, Rick, welcome to the program.
Bob.
How you doing?
Doing?
I'm good. You?
I'm doing great.
Are you hearing the show?
That's what I called for. I was deaf, and you and Bruce put your hands up on my computer and got it to work.
Yay, verily.
I love it.
Only thing is, are we broadcasting in tongues?
Well, if you are, then I'm hearing in tongues.
Hallelujah.
And that's the best part about it, because, see, I haven't been able to hear you. I haven't been able to hear Bruce. I haven't been able to hear Joe. And all I've been hearing is my friends around here who, you know, I got some Democrat friends, there are a few, who have been lambasting me, been beating me up, saying, you know, you're going for this the scorched earth policy. What are you trying to get him impeached for? I mean, why don't we just let it go? Why don't we work towards the center? And I'm over there going, well, okay, maybe I'm completely crazy for thinking this stuff. And then I hear you tonight, and I hear you basically saying the same thing. These people have screwed up. These people have broke the law. They have bastardized our Constitution, and now they have to pay for it.
Yeah.
So...
For the sake of the Constitution, and for the sake of the American nation, and for the sake of the Republic, and for the sake of the people, that mechanism exists in the Constitution to take care of that problem.
And I cannot understand these.
You know, the impeachment process was put in the Constitution, Rick, because the people who framed the Constitution and wrote the Constitution were well familiar with regicide. And they were familiar with the idea of, if you don't like the leader, go kill the leader. And they were trying to build a more civil society.
And it's worked for 200 and some odd years.
Yeah.
So these idiots get in. So, okay, scorched the earth. I don't care. I feel a little bit more...
This is not scorched earth. I mean, don't take that from your centrist Democrat friends, Rick. This is not scorched earth. This is constitutional. This is the constitutional republic.
Absolutely. And that's what makes me feel better. Because I was beginning to really doubt. I was hearing it over and over and over, the same garbage over and over, and I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe...
You know, the polling data, and it's curious that it hasn't been redone, Rick, but there's polling data that's over a year old from Zogby. In which the American people said at the level of 51% that if evidence is discovered that George Bush lied about the reasons for going into Iraq, then he must be impeached.
And now our own party talking against it.
Well, I think, I think our own party right now is sort of flying under the radar.
I hope so. I hope you're right on that.
But I'm not going to give up on it. I'm going to keep hollering for it, and I'm going to keep hollering for other people to holler for it.
Well, I'm going to continue, too, now that I'm not completely by myself and completely insane.
No, you've got a lot of people. You've got a lot of people at your back, Rick. And the fact of the matter is, these moderates that say, you know, I'll ask a brother or sister Democrat to their face, which do you love more, the Constitution or your political party? By God, I love the Constitution more.
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
And if you love the party more, you really got some messed up priorities.
Such thing as being a partisan, and then it becomes idiotic after that.
Yeah, because see, I don't see impeachment as a partisan issue. I don't want impeachment because I'm a Democrat. I want impeachment because that man is a criminal.
I agree. Well, we did the test. We did. We spent an evening here.
Yeah.
And you went completely over it, and we have proven that the guy is a sociopath. Clinically, a sociopath.
And sociopaths do criminal things.
They are criminals. That's what they are. That's what they do. And we have laws to keep that from happening. We've got a constitution. Impeachment's the way to go.
And, you know, I mean, I want to be perfectly clear on this. If Bill Clinton had done the same things George Bush has done. Now, I'm not talking about consensual sex. I'm not talking about, I mean, you know, this business about how, you know, we can't be issuing a bunch of subpoenas because that wouldn't be fair. Rick, do you remember they issued subpoenas and they went through Hillary Clinton's panty drawer?
Yep.
Do you remember that?
Yes. And they spent $40 million to find out about a blowjob.
Yeah. How many of us have forgotten that? That's not what I'm talking about. If I caught, if you caught, if we caught Bill Clinton lying about a war that got 3,000 Americans killed and 650,000 Iraqi civilians who were utterly, completely, and totally innocent killed, I would demand the removal of that man from office.
I've been tested, and I've been proven. I did the same thing when it came out that Johnson was lying about the war. I immediately turned and immediately said, we got to get rid of it. And I talked about impeachment then. I do not, I'm not playing partisan politics. It's not because they're Republicans. It's because they're crooks.
Yes.
If they lied about the war, they need to be impeached the same way I thought Johnson needed to be impeached when he lied about the war.
And if the American people see that as, you know, that's just too much for us to bear, then the American people have no regard for their own freedoms, Rick.
American people are cowards because we've got to be able to hold people accountable for their actions.
You know,
we got to stop thinking of the presidency as royalty.
Exactly. It is not imperial. It is not royal. This talk about we can't impeach George Bush, blah, 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 comes from a place that thinks that the presidency is something sacred. You know, if we want to protect, this is a reason to, impeachment is a protection of the executive branch. It is not an attack upon the executive branch. It's a process that is born out of respect and regard for the office of the presidency, that we will not allow it to be demeaned, that we will not allow it to be prostituted, that we will not allow the presidency to become a part of a criminal enterprise.
And the presidency is not a part of divine right. It's a job that a person begs to get.
Yeah.
And we give it to them if we think that they're capable.
And the way it works out, you know, you get a 4-year probationary period, and if you pass that, we give you 4 more, and then you retire.
If the election's a fair.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I will not keep you, sir. I just had to get on and say thank you, thank you, thank you. Y'all worked miracles. You touched my screen, and now I hear.
he was deaf, but now he hears. God help us if we get cameras. You'll be blind, but now you see.
I do hear that Bruce is going to have a thing about addiction on tonight.
Yes, he is. He's going to focus his program on addiction and recovery. I'm looking forward to it a lot.
I would, too. I wish I was going to be able to stay and hear that, but I'm in transit at that time. Maybe I'll pick it up later on into it. But I promise not to call and disturb it.
Oh, no. disturb. I mean, you would have a lot to bring to that program. If it's still going by the time you get home, I hope we'll hear from you, Rick.
Well, right at this moment, I just wanted to let y'all know, thank you so much. You gave me back my ears, and thank you for letting me hear what you had to say today, because I was really beginning to doubt.
Well, you take this back and you know, heck, invite them. I'd love to have this discussion. Invite them to prove me wrong.
They can't.
They can try.
And I knew it. I just get beat down. Okay, sir.
All right, Rick. You take care.
Good night.
Bye now. Impeachment was put in the Constitution because these people did not want to see the chief executive murdered. Because that was the only mechanism they had at the time within their life experience for getting rid of bad leaders. It's all that history offered. Bad leader? Kill him! It was put in as a prophylactic, as a protectionary measure for the chief executive. So that before somebody would go absolutely ape and try to kill the chief executive, he could be removed for his high crimes and misdemeanors and not face that kind of a fate. Remember, the impeachment is put into the Constitution long before John Wilkes Booth goes to the theater. Long before Texas book depositories. Long before Squeaky Fromm and Gerald Ford. I mean, that woman was nuts. I mean, shooting Gerald Ford it makes about as much sense as shooting a toadstool. But that's what it's all about. The presidency is protected by the impeachment clauses of the Constitution. The presidency isn't protected by the Secret Service. An individual is protected by the Secret Service. The presidency is protected by the mechanisms contained in the Constitution whereby we can preserve the decency and the integrity of the office when that decency and integrity has been trampled upon. And I'm still waiting. I am still waiting to see some pundit. I mean, it just hit me. It just remembered. I was just reminded. There are so many things out there that we have forgotten about the sleazy, slimy, divisive politics that were engaged in by the Republican Party. Well, Bob, you don't want to be like them, do you? Hell no, I don't want to be like them. I don't want to start impeachment proceedings over consensual sex. I want to start impeachment proceedings over murder! As Shakespeare would say, murder most foul. Heady murder. Think about it. Have you forgotten? Dear God, I wonder if the FBI agent who was tasked with the job of rooting through Hillary Clinton's underwear drawer is drawing the total permanent disability somewhere. Surely to God they didn't give that job to a guy. I know it seems, but can you imagine it? They were trying to find out that the First Lady, they were looking for evidence the First Lady of the United States murdered Vince Foster. And they thought that she hid the evidence amongst her panties. I won't go into my wife's underwear drawer. You know, I'll say, honey, where are the car keys? And she says, in my purse. And I'm like, would you get them for it? I won't put my hands in her purse. And we sent an FBI agent. Kenneth Starr sent an FBI agent into Hillary's underwear drawer. And some damn and pundits and politicians are saying, well, you know, we can't send subpoenas out about the Iraq war because the American people don't want that. Well, you know what? If the American people are willing to countenance crime, then I don't want, I want nothing to do with them. That's where I am. Where are you? That's where the Republican Party took us. The Republican Party, Molly Ivins mentioned it in her most recent column, that Newt Gingrich is now calling for civil discourse. Because they had such a lock on civility. Yeah, we was awful mean to y'all, but please don't y'all be mean to us like we was to you. And you know what? I don't want them. I don't want to be mean to them like they were to us. I don't want to go looking for peccadilloes and made-up crimes. We don't have to. We have the real deal. We have everything we could possibly want. We have assaults on working people. We have the Kentucky River line of cases where a corrupt National Labor Relations Board held that if you ask some, if a nurse asks another nurse to empty a bedpan, then suddenly she can't be in a union anymore. We have all the corruption we could possibly want to deal with. And in sifting through all of that, sooner or later, we will find what Robert Penn Warren referred to as the kitty in the ash heap. We'll poke somewhere, we'll tap somewhere, and instead of sounding solid, we'll hear that hollow sound, and we'll know that we have found it. And the thing is, the Bush administration is all hollow sounds. The Republican Party is all hollow. They make big noises, but only when they're thumped. So, you know, I'm charitable. I'm going to give this Democratic majority a couple of months to get their feet under them. And I will continue to press for the impeachment of George W. Bush. Not because he's a Republican. Not because he's a Bush. But because he is an offense to the Constitution of the United States of America. I understand the mindset that says, oh dear, we can't talk about it. Well, you know what? Talk about it amongst yourselves. Talk about it here. Democratic politicians, talk about it at home. Talk about it quietly. Think about it. You don't have to be public about it, but when the evidence is glaring in front of you like a big flashing blue or red light in front of a body house, you cannot ignore it. Don't let them ignore it. You're the last line of defense that brilliant, brilliant, nearly sacred document has. You've never sworn an oath to the Constitution to have your citizenship. You merely live an oath to the Constitution because of your citizenship. Earn it and own it. That's it. Thanks, everyone, however you joined in. My lovely, not-so-well wife produced the program. Thank you, Agnes. Brian Reznor announced. John Fox in Sydney, Australia, is the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams and the archives and the podcasts of all the programs on the Head On Radio Network. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional, and what a professional he is. We have wonderful mods, and we have excellent news editors for the news blog at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. If you've never been to the chat room, go by. It's free and it's fun. All the programs on the horn happen because there are several thousand dedicated, hardworking members of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters who get up every day and they get up and they build, they literally build the American dream. And in supporting this network, well, they're trying to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you. We'll be right back.
Hill today, General John Abizaid, the top U.S. commander in the Middle East, appeared before the Senate Armed Services Committee. He warned against setting a timetable for withdrawing U.S. troops from Iraq because he said it would hurt the commander's flexibility on the ground. He also told the senators that the situation in Iraq, despite the violence, is, quote, not as bad as back in August, end quote. However, it is still at, quote, unacceptably high levels, end quote. In Baghdad, Iraqi officials now say about 70 of the estimated 150 educators kidnapped yesterday in a brazen raid of a government education building have been released. It is unclear how many are still being held captive. The victims were reportedly taken away in about 20 pickup trucks by armed gunmen dressed in military uniforms. The U.S. military today announced the death of 6 more troops in Iraq, 3 soldiers and 3 Marines who were killed in combat Tuesday. Elsewhere in Iraq, at least 20 Iraqis were killed in violence today. On his way to Asia for an 8-day trip, President Bush met with Russian President Vladimir Putin for a quick meeting. At the airport stopover, the two leaders discussed the nuclear disputes with North Korea and Iran. In Washington, the Senate Republicans have chosen their leaders for the new term beginning in January. Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell will be the Senate Minority Leader. Mississippi Senator Trent Lott won the number 2 whip position. Convicted former lobbyist Jack Abramoff began his prison sentence today in Western Maryland. He was sentenced to a nearly 6-year term at the minimum security all-male prison for his role in a fraudulent deal involving the purchase of Florida casino ships. At Fort Campbell, Kentucky today, a U.S. soldier pleaded guilty to raping an Iraqi girl and killing her family. He was one of 4 U.S. soldiers accused in the crime. He will avoid the death penalty because of the plea agreement. In southern Israel, a Palestinian rocket fired from the Gaza Strip killed one passerby and critically injured another. Militants affiliated with